and your summer self will thank you. Awaken180weightloss.com.
Rise and grind, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to get bumpy. Time to attack and dominate. This is Morning Juice with Brandon Beam and Bobby Carpenter.
And here we go on a Wednesday, attacking and dominating our way to 9 a.m. every single weekday morning right here on The Fan. Brandon Beam, the General, Bobby Carpenter, and of course our fearless leader and producer, Mark the Shark. General, we've navigated our way to Wednesday. Coaster Bob Day for some, First Friday Miracle for others, Draft Day Eve for everybody. What's going on, man? Good to talk to you.
Oh, feeling good, Beamer. Feeling great. You know what? Last night, got done with XM. Passed her about 6. Had a little dinner. Wrote some emails. Got some work done. Started reading at about 7:15. Read for about 45 minutes. Watched an episode of Chosen. Turned out the lights at 8:45.
Oh, yes.
It was really a great night. I woke up 3 times in the middle of the night because I was concerned that I was sleeping through alarms. My wife got everything else. Thought there's no possible way. I'm like, it's got to be
11:30.
Oh, it was. What time is it? I don't know. I'm like, oh gosh, it's only 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
this is great.
Still got a couple.
I thought
hours
it was going to be like 4.
Uh-huh.
So it was tremendous. I feel reinvigorated. I feel rejuvenated. It was really hard to get out of bed though. I will say this: like the beginning of it felt rough, but then, as I was driving in, I'm like, I don't feel tired at all. This is great.
Feel alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic.
Yeah, like no manufactured juice for me today. It's all here. So,
au naturel, baby.
I'm trying to figure out a way I can reproduce those efforts tonight.
Let's go to bed at 8:45 again.
Yeah, it'll be tough to fall asleep at that point. Because it's not good to watch TV right before you go to bed. I usually like to read, but if I want to watch a show with my wife, she wants to wait until 9:15 to start it. I'd rather start at like 8:30 so I can go to bed at 9:15. But we'll see. But I like to read. Got some of that. Read a couple chapters in this book, The Slight Edge, I'm reading, recommended by a friend. I've really enjoyed that. So kind of cruising along, Beam. Got a couple other books to read. But it's been a good spot. How was your lovely Tuesday?
It was good, man. It was good. Meredith, after work, one of her friends who's also a teacher is on maternity leave. They just had a baby. Little baby Lincoln. So, I mean, Shark, Jude, don't call me Julian. Now we got a Lincoln in the conversation, too.
I'm like,
Lincoln
might be back. The Legend of Zelda?
That's right. Lincoln Keenholz action. So she went over there yesterday after work. So I had the big dog by myself until like 6 o'clock yesterday. So what did we do, Bob? We went to Costco for our morning wake window. So that was pretty good. Got things accomplished. Had a few things needed to check off my list. Boom. Came home. Had some lunch. We both took a nap, and then all of a sudden, you know, for the afternoon, got ready, had to wake him up. Man, he crushed his nap yesterday. It was great. It was like a 2-hour nap right in the middle of the afternoon, so that was fantastic. Then we went to the zoo. Got to the zoo at like 3:45. They close at 5. Spent an hour over there just hanging out. I mean, we were the only people in the, like, Quest of Asia area. I maybe saw 3 other people. It was a Tuesday afternoon. It was windy. It was maybe going to rain. And we were just the only ones like in that exhibition, like the only people over in that exhibit. So that was pretty awesome.
Zoo.
It really was. Felt like Matt Damon, and we bought a zoo. So that was good. And then came home. Mare was home at that point. Had a little dinner. Put the big man to bed. And you'd be very proud of me because I watched Southpaw.
Oh, nice. Last night?
I did it, yeah. I was like, yeah, it's a Tuesday. Not a whole lot going on. I'm just going to lock in to watch Southpaw. It's good. We'll get into it a little bit later. We'll have a bigger conversation about it because I thought it was pretty solid. And I'll tell you I'll tell you what Meredith thought about it too. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. But all in all, man, it was a fantastic little Tuesday that we had, setting up for a big, big Wednesday here. Draft Eve. You got the crew tonight in the first leg in the Champions Cup semifinal against Monterey tonight here at lower.com Fields. A whole lot of stuff to get into today. Before we get to today in history, Paris Johnson Jr. would love to play football with one of his former Buckeye teammates. Going to get into that coming up here in our next segment. You had a chance to talk to ESPN NFL insider Field Yates, also anchoring the draft coverage ESPN ABC for tomorrow evening. So that's awesome. Well, behind radio, behind the scenes here, I was napping. You texted me. Field had like 15 minutes that he could cram it in. I woke up to a text. Hey, can you do anything? No, I was asleep.
He's traveling to Detroit, doing a million shows this week. Tomorrow, obviously, he's going to be swamped. I didn't even want to ask him about that. So, hey, man, can we catch up with you maybe Tuesday, Wednesday? Hey, how about we tape Tuesday? I'll see if I have a time that works Tuesday for Wednesday or Wednesday for Thursday. I said, okay. And he texts me, at 1:40 and said, hey, can we either go now or 2:15? There's no response out of you. Normally, I maybe would have been laying down at that time as well. And happened to be awake because I was running around getting some stuff done. And so I'm like, all right, we'll just do it now. It'll be great. Get a lot of stuff. I wish I would have known at the time that he got carted at a Detroit casino.
I saw that last night.
He looks like he's 14 years old still, which is great. People always say that when you're young, you hate looking young. But when you're old, you love looking young. So check up with Field here, who is going to be on the ABC desk. Yeah, so excited for him.
It's a big day for him. And we love Field on this show. So I was bummed I can't get to talk to him. But excited to get to listen to that coming up here at 6:35 and 8:35 this morning. And smack dab in between your two appearances of Field Yates. Timmy May of Letterman Row is going to digress us coming up here at 7:35. Talk a little Buckeyes, talk a little draft with Tim. Lots of other good stuff to get into as well, pertaining all around the NFL draft and kind of what's going to happen tomorrow. Draft tanking, all kinds of good stuff, situation happening. Before we get into anything else today, it is Wednesday, the 24th day of April, 2024. Time for Today in History.
Time to get smarter. Morning Juice presents Today in History. Here's your professor, Bobby Carpenter.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, Bob, a little Wednesday, buddy. What do you got lined up for us today?
Oh, boy, it is Wednesday, April 24th, the 115th day of the year, and 251 days remaining in this 2024. This date, 1184 AD, this was the traditional date of the fall of Troy, Shark.
Oh.
When the Greeks wheeled in the Roman horse right into Troy, walked in right under their nose.
All over a woman, the most beautiful woman in the world.
Helen of Troy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some say Jan of Pal.
Yes.
Either way. Not sure which.
Brad Pitt, he could really jump high.
He could. Well,
That's a great movie.
It's Achilles.
Yeah.
You know, him and Hector scoring
mythological
off.
Hero, Achilles. Sorry. You remember that from Wheel of Fortune?
Oh, gosh. That was terrible. Yeah, no, that's an awful.
Yeah, that's not the pronunciation.
It's not even close to the pronunciation.
He's wearing an Indiana University sweatshirt.
Yep.
They must be really proud.
Better than the Buckeyes.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly. Didn't know if we had any sound for that or not, Shark.
I don't think so, Bob.
I was going to see if you could get some from the movie, which would have been great. That's why no one will remember your name, Shark. This date, have you seen the movie?
What movie, Troy?
Yeah. That's why no one will remember your name. Brad Pitt, I think, throws that out there to his nephew, I believe. This date, 1704. The first regular newspaper was published in America. It is the Boston Newsletter.
Nice.
Circulating up there in Beantown. This date, 1800, the Library of Congress is founded. Established by John Adams, signing legislation to law. How much do you think the seed money was for the Library of Congress?
A couple grand?
No. More than that. It had to be at least
$50,000. Beam was right on. It's $5,000.
$5,000 in 17 what?
1800.
1800.
It was set to buy books.
In today's money, that's $7.8 million. Yeah.
Well, considering college on average costs $218,000 now, I mean, that seems like a steal back then. And they said they were tasked to buy books that, quote, Congress might find useful, whatever that means. So a pretty wide scope they're able to choose from.
$123,000 today in today's value.
It's
pretty good bargain still.
Absolutely. This date, 1953, Winston Churchill is knighted by Queen Elizabeth II. It's wild to think, Shark, that she was the one that knighted.
That's crazy.
I mean, she just passed away, and she was the one that knighted Winston Churchill post-World War II. This day, 1969, Paul McCartney had to speak up against rumors that he was dead.
I couldn't find the audio from 1969.
Did you play the album backwards, though, that says Paul is dead?
I did get this explanation when he appeared on Carpool Karaoke.
There was a huge rumor that Paul McCartney was dead and that you are not Paul McCartney, you're an imposter.
I mean, the truth is, at that time, everyone was stimulated with way too many stimulants.
Right.
So it was a pretty crazy time. This is true. And what about the Beatles? Yeah. There were like millions of legends. So we just kind of let them go, you know. There wasn't really any way you could stop it. We did the Abbey Road cover. It was a very hot day, and I arrived in sandals. So I thought, well, I'll just kick them off because it's too hot. So I ended up barefoot on it. Well, this is a sign that it's, I don't know, Sicilian, he's dead or something.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Stimulated with too many stimulants. You're talking about your legs.
Exactly. That's great. Carpool karaoke with what's his name? One of the great things you're going to see. This date, 1980, eight servicemen and women die in Operation Eagle Claw. You remember that, Shark?
I don't remember that.
That was the attempt to free the Iranian, the hostages from the Iranian crisis.
What year?
1980.
Yeah, that was Jimmy Carter's swan song, right?
And then I think Argo was how they actually got him out, correct?
Yeah, the hostage crisis where they got him out on the plane.
Yeah. Ben Affleck.
Meredith didn't know it was a true story, so she didn't know how it ended. So she was super nervous watching it.
Titanic?
I really have no clue what happened. I'm like, well... She goes, what happens? Well, just watch. Like, they'll tell you. Just watch the movie.
You just keep doing the numbers.
It's a really solid movie. Really good movie.
It's very well done. Some birthdays today. Barbara Streisand turning 82 years old.
This is from Meet the Fockers.
The continuum concept shows that a baby benefits more from constant physical contact.
Oh.
That's right. Greggy practically slept in our bed till he was 10.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I don't think it was quite that long.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't 10.
9 and a half, at least.
Mom.
These are the curls from his first trip to the barbershop. Oh. He's the man who snips the baby's little winky-dink. See, that's Greg getting circumcised. No matter how hard he tried, Mom. Some oil couldn't coax Greggy's tiny little turtle from its shell.
You know what? Let's not talk about the tiny turtle, okay?
Don't tell me you kept his umbilical cord.
Of course not. That's Greg's foreskin.
I was waiting for that. That's a classic.
When Robert De Niro meets them, it just...
Her and Dustin Hoffman do a great job.
It's awesome.
Oh, so good. Omar Vizquel, one of Shark's favorite all-time Indians. Where does he rank, Shark?
He's top 10, certainly, Bob.
Oh, Vizquel today, 2 for 4, 2 singles. Sexton at third, Cabrera at second, Lofton at first, nobody sitting down at Jacobs Field. The 2-1 delivery. Swung on and drilled to deep right center. Away back. Gone! Vizquel, a game-winning grand slam. Can you believe it?
57 years young, 3-time All-Star, 11-time Gold Glover. Chipper Jones turning 52 today, 8-time All-Star, NL MVP in 99, World Series Championship Shark, unfortunately, in 95. Didn't feel very good. And a Hall of Famer as well. Brian Marshall turning 51, the bassist of Creed. Eric Snow. Where's he ranked on your all-time favorite Cavs?
Eric Snow.
Top four.
He played like a year and a half. With the Cavs?
I think they went to the NBA Finals with him, right? He was on that team with Jerry Hughes.
Was he?
I think he was on that team in 07 with Jerry Hughes.
Mo Williams in the game.
Oh, yeah. That whole crew.
Big Z.
Boozer wasn't there. That was Goodman.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Beltran turning 47 years old. Is he a Hall of Famer to you, Shark?
No.
9 All-Stars.
Close.
Six gold gloves, 2 silver sluggers, World Series title.
Borderline, Bob.
Okay.
Doesn't have my vote.
Well, if he did juice, he would have got, he'd get mine. Kelly Clarkson turning 42. Jake Quaid turning 32. Was actor in The Hunger Games. Son of Dennis and Meg Ryan. Mm. I forgot that they had a kid together. Jerry Judy turning 99, or... Born in 99, turning 25.
Where does he rank on your list of favorite Cleveland Browns?
Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah. Way up there.
Might be number one. We'll see. I don't know, but it's looking good so far, Shark.
hasn't had the chance to look bad.
Exactly.
Hasn't dropped a pass yet.
Estee Lauder passing away on this date, 2004. Some holidays observances. It is Administrative Professionals Day. It is Denim Day. Hey, do you know what Mario and Luigi's favorite outfit is?
Denim.
Well done. Good job on you, Ben. Or Beam. Fashion Revolution Day. National Pigs in a Blanket Day. New Kids on the Block Day. The one KOTB. Savvy on the Block Day, which sounds great. Stop Food Waste Day. Had an argument about the kids and wife about that. And World Meningitis Day. And those are your historical events, your birthdays, your passings, your holidays, observances. For this date, Wednesday, April 24th, the 115th day of the year, and 251 days remaining in this 2024.
Good job on that, General. As always, Paris Johnson Jr. would love to play with one of his former Buckeye teammates out in the desert. That's next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Wednesday to you. Right now you are crash-free across your central Ohio roadways, seeing busy traffic on I-70 coming into downtown Columbus and on 33 on the southeast side. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
One of these guys thinks Clintonville was named after Bill Clinton. You're listening to Morning Juice.
For Wednesday edition of the program, Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. Coming up here 6:35 this morning, Bob had the chance to sit down with Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, going to be manning the desk on the draft coverage coming up tomorrow evening, which will be exciting. I think it's a great opportunity for Field, and I know that he's going to crush that opportunity in front of him. So he's going to join us coming up here at 6:35 here a little bit later on. Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously going to be the first Buckeye, likely the only Buckeye to go in the first round tomorrow. Now, before we get to some of the stuff being said about the other wide receivers, let's jump in and let's talk about Paris Johnson Jr. Goes number six to the Cards last year.
Yep.
Rookie year. Okay, that's in the bag. Paris knows what it takes to be a pro now. And John Weinfuss of ESPN was doing an article, and he talked to Paris about, you know, what he would do with a pick. And not surprising to anybody, I think Paris went to bat for his guy. And I think this is true, Bob, and you can obviously attest to this being over to the Woody and watching Marv operate. And Marvin Harrison Jr., in parentheses, operates, if not in silence, then close to it, according to Johnson. It wasn't rare for Harrison to be running routes when Johnson arrived at the Buckeyes football facility at 6 a.m. to eat breakfast, and it wasn't rare for Harrison to be catching passes from the quarterbacks at 6 p.m. after practice when his teammates were already back in their rooms. Here's what Paris had to say. He said, "I've watched him change the leadership of the receiver room himself without saying words. I know Marv doesn't talk. Marv, he'll smile, he'll laugh, he'll say a few words. He kind of keeps to himself. Obviously, he talks. He's definitely talks to his receivers, his quarterbacks, but he's kind of reserved. Johnson has seen everything that everybody else has, the catches, the plays, the touchdowns, moves, why Paris considers Marvin Harrison Jr. the GOAT. Said work ethic, that's what it is. Said people think it's his genes or his height or his strength or his speed. It's work ethic. That's all it is."
Exactly. Marv is a grinder. He was blessed with some things.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, birth. His dad's a Hall of Famer and very talented, but his dad was notoriously a worker as well. And the same thing is true with Marvin. You know, it's one of the most impressive things. And everybody talks, and this is the hard thing of trying to figure out the human motivational element. And I know a lot of people will never get this because, like, why would people not want to work hard, you know, at a sport? I'm like, well, some people don't love it. And to work, to grind at something, to give it your all, I mean, you've got to be really passionate about it. You really have to love it. And you look at some guys that, you know, come from affluence, guys who might not come from anything. And I've watched guys who come from nothing who work hard, and that's their way out in life, and they love it, and they're grinders. I watch guys who don't come from anything who are lazy. And I've seen the both for kids, from young men of affluence. And Marvin obviously came from a very affluent, you know, family. His dad played in the NFL for all these years. You know, Hall of Famer. You know, Peyton Manning was his favorite player growing up. His dad played with him forever. And it would be easy for Marv just to go out there and rest on the ability that he has. And I've never seen Marvin take that approach to it at all. Ever since he's been at Ohio State, I'm guessing that was never his approach to it before. And he could go out there and be a decent receiver probably without doing much work at all. But guy wants to be the best. And that's what separates him. It's what, you know, endears people to him. He is a phenomenal young man and a phenomenal human being outside of his ability to play football, because it's the character traits that allow him to be great at football is what drives him to the highest levels of success.
And then Paris also had to say this. He said, "We've been talking about it since then," talking about, you know, Paris got drafted there last year. He definitely said that he would love to be a Cardinal. So they're sitting at the number four.
Oh, yeah.
1, 2, and 3, likely going to go quarterback unless something crazy happens. But we'll see what happens tomorrow evening. I know that you love anonymous comments as well. I know you love
the anonymous sources, like the comments on this guy, that guy. We're going to have anonymous comments on quarterbacks. Is this on Marvin? Who are we talking about?
This is Marv. So Bruce Feldman talked to a few different coaches across the NFL. And, I mean, we're getting to that point in time where, I mean, we're just trying to drag people through the mud and say, well, this guy, here's the reason why this guy is better. And it's not to say that Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze aren't terrific prospects, right? I mean, this is a loaded wide receiver class, and, you know, both have pros, or all three of them have pros, and all three of them have had cons. But this gentleman is listed as wide receiver coach number one. So, anonymous quote coming in here. "Marvin Harrison Jr. is not number one to me. Said a veteran NFL receivers coach whose team is in the market for another top receiver, and whom will ID as wide receiver coach one. LSU's Malik Nabers is the number one on my list, and I think he's on a lot of people's lists. He's just different to me. I don't think he's anything towards Marvin. It's just really Nabers is that good. His skills with the ball and hands are different. His acceleration is different. His explosive plays are different. He tracks the ball really well. He's a smaller guy, but he can still play outside. He's rare in a lot of ways. He's got some Jamar Chase in him, some DJ Moore skills. I hesitate to say because Tyreek Hill's speed is just so different from anybody in the league, but Nabers has that same kind of burst. Is just so explosive at the line of scrimmage. Offensive assistant one said this: it's Nabers, then there's a gap. He's the best wide receiver in the draft in a couple of years, maybe more. He's Tyreek Hill combined with one of those San Francisco guys, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel. He's so explosive. He's got a second gear. He can stop at a dime, breaks tackles, yada, yada, yada. Scout number one, Nabers is so much more explosive. I think he has more upside. I don't know if I can trust him like I trust Marvin. I trust Marvin to be disciplined. So there's all these different kinds of things in here.
I would say some of that is true, though. And this isn't a knock on Marvin. Everybody's built a little differently. And I think Marvin, they track everybody now with their, you know, the Zephyr, Zebra, these different modalities they wear to check their top speed. I think Marvin has one of the best top speeds you're going to find in college football. But I think Malik's Nabers does have better acceleration than him. I don't think, but he's also shorter. Shorter guys usually are typically able to accelerate faster just due to their leg length and inseam and different things. But that's not a knock on Marv. I mean, you can only be what you are. And so I think Malik Nabers might have a little bit more short-range acceleration, and that's not a bad thing. That helps you become a better receiver. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a better one, though.
Here's where I lost my mind, because all those things may be true. Wide receiver coach, too, said, Harrison is like a fluid, smooth receiver. He doesn't have the same elite traits like Nabers. He can separate and catches the ball real well. I don't think he wows you. What are you talking about?
See, that's the problem then, because Marv has the ability to make phenomenal catches.
Like, what are you talking about?
He is more fluid and smooth. He may not be quite as explosive at the line, but that doesn't mean he doesn't get in and out of his breaks quickly. He's very smooth. He's very similar to his dad, but he's a bigger version of his dad. And so his dad was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So I don't know what people want, like what the scale is that you're using to measure him, because he's bigger and stronger than his dad and a very similar style player, except he's taller and stronger, and his dad was a Hall of Famer. So I don't know how you want to quantify that.
To say he doesn't wow you, I think, is a crazy thing to say.
I think that's
a crazy, asinine statement to throw out there about Marv. Just go and watch the tape. I mean, the jaw-dropping catches that he had here in his tenure with the Buckeyes. ESPN NFL insider Field Yates took some time out of his busy week to talk to Bob yesterday. You're going to hear that next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. As you're heading out right now, no major crashes that we are watching impacting your commute. Seeing busy traffic on I-71 as you approach downtown Columbus. Also on 33 westbound on the southeast side. I'm 10TV's Amy Steckerwald with your fan traffic.
If you make a wise crack about Dayton pizza, Beamer will murder you dead.
Ah, humor. I have it too.
This is Morning Juice.
Well, the road to the NBA Finals is underway, and new customers on FanDuel, you can go on your own playoff run. With $150, just place any $5 bet, and you're going to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. A few games coming up here tonight. Couple of them. Got the Heat at the Celtics, game number two. Celtics looking to move past first round again. Thunder and the Pelicans at 9:30 tonight. Mavs tying the series up against the Clip Show. Pacers tying the series against the Bucks. T-Wolves up 2-0 over the Suns. All kinds of good stuff for you to get in on.
Oh, there's so much there. So all you gotta do, it's easy. Go to FanDuel.com/juice to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 and older in present Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Had a chance yesterday to sit down with ESPN NFL insider Field Yates.
All right, here with our guy from ESPN, Field Yates, joining us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Field, talking a little draft. This has got to be the busiest time of the year for you, is it not?
It is. It's a great time. It was one of my favorite times of the year. One of my favorite weeks of the year, Carp. And by the way, I got to call the Brian or Bryant with a T at the end. Heating and cooling system. I've been having some trouble at my house recently. So you and I will have to talk offline about getting them to consult on some of the stuff that's taking place. You know, over here in Connecticut, it's starting to turn from cold to warmer season. And I got to talk to them about some of my systems, apparently.
Absolutely. We'll get you all taken care of here offline. I know you're busy running around, going to be anchoring some of the draft coverage this year on ABC. Am I correct in saying that?
ESPN? That's right. Yep.
Look at
that's
that.
Right. Yeah, look at that, nailing it. Yes, ABC on Thursday, Friday, and then ESPN on Saturday when we go down to rounds 4 through 7, down to just one broadcast. So very much looking forward to it.
All right, so the question everybody wants to know, this is the crazy quarterback draft field. How many guys, the number I think is sitting at 4.5, how many do you see going in the first round, and who do you think that potential fifth guy could be if that's the case?
Yeah, I think the answer is at least 5. I do. I think there's a chance for 6, but I would go 5, and I think Michael Penix Jr. is the 5th. I think we feel really good about 4 quarterbacks going, 3 potentially off the board with the first 3 picks. Those, of course, most likely to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May, with J.J. McCarthy not that far behind. I see it as a 3-person tier at the top, and then sort of a little split between those guys and J.J. McCarthy, and then another little split down to Mike Penix Jr. and also Bo Nix. But the reality is that teams are A, always in need of quarterbacks, and B, I do feel like teams are following the lead of others that have been successful recently and being a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of when they have acquired a quarterback. So they've been a little bit too early to a party as opposed to too late to the party. I think people are saying, hey, why don't we just continue drafting quarterbacks and hope that they hit, even if we have somebody already in the lineup? Because if we get into a situation where we are not, or we're without a quarterback, we're so screwed because there are so few ways to acquire one outside of the draft.
Absolutely. As we talked to Field Yates, anchoring the coverage on ABC here, Thursday, Friday, ESPN on Saturday, full weekend for you. And you're right. I mean, quarterback, if you don't have one, you're searching to find one. It feels like a little bit of this first round field for that quarterback kind of hinges a little bit when you get to that 4th pick with Arizona. They obviously they have Kyler Murray. They've paid him. It doesn't look like they would go quarterback there. So people have mocked a lot of trades. I mean, if there was someone coming up to get a quarterback, who do you think the most likely suspect would potentially be?
Yeah, so if they, first of all, I think Arizona, this is just my opinion, I'm not trying to play to the crowd here. If I'm Arizona, pick 4, I sit, I take Marvin Harrison Jr., and I feel great about it because not that I need to explain how brilliant of a player he is to anybody listening to this locally, but I just think that we can get so enamored with future draft capital. It's very easy to do so, right? Because it's the possibility. It's the hypothetical. It's the maybe we could turn 4 into 11, 23, and a top 5 pick next year, but maybe not. And the maybe not is also weighed against Marvin Harrison Jr. So I would be thinking long and hard about staying exactly where I am, resist temptation, and make Kyler Murray the happiest man on the planet by adding Marvin Harrison Jr. If Arizona does trade down, I think everybody has their eyes on the Vikings, who have made no secret about their desire to acquire a quarterback in this year's draft and made no secret about their desire to potentially do so to get up into the top 5 or 6 picks to get one of those top quarterbacks. So until proven otherwise, I will continue to view Minnesota as the most likely trade up team.
A lot of people are obviously feel in Ohio interested with the Cincinnati Bengals, where they're going to potentially go. Joe Burrow, obviously had the injury, finishing the year on the shelf this year. Cincinnati, I believe, sitting at pick 18. Pretty tackle heavy draft. Offensive heavy draft, especially at the top. Do you see Cincinnati at 18 potentially going with a tackle? And who do you think would be a good tackle in that sweet spot, assuming probably Joe Alt and some of the other, maybe the second tackles off the board by then?
Yeah, I think Cincinnati has a couple of needs that certainly could be filled in at 18th spot. Number one is offensive tackle, like you just said. They signed Trent Brown to that deal this offseason. It's a 1-year deal. I always remind people, and I know that this is not the thing that fans like to hear the week of the draft. The first round of the NFL draft is not just fulfilling your need this year. It's about looking ahead and identifying a need a year from now and drafting the best player who at worst will help you a year from now, but at best might help you this year as well. And while Trent Brown's a really talented guy, inconsistent, he has not been consistent enough in terms of his availability. So if I'm Cincinnati, I'm thinking long and hard about guys like Talifuaga from Oregon State, if he falls to them at number 18, Troy Fautanu from Washington, who I think could be a guard or left tackle or right tackle. If, and I think this is a big if, Olu Fashanu is there, I would, sprint to the board. I also think Amarius Mims should be mentioned. Tyler Guyton, those are from Georgia and Oklahoma, respectively. There's a lot of toolsy upside players. And for a team that I think needs an offensive tackle, can certainly fit Cincinnati's needs. Defensive tackle should not be ignored as well. I don't think Byron Murphy II gets there from Texas, but if he does, another example of a sprint the card in type pick.
Not many defensive players in mock to go in the first round field. Who do you think the first guy potentially off the board could be?
I think there are three candidates for the first defensive player off the board. Dallas Turner from Alabama has been mentioned the most. That might be just because it's the easy thing to do. He's a pass rusher. Atlanta needs a pass rusher as well. He's 21 years old, springy athlete. Byron Murphy II, though, from Texas, who I just mentioned, is Cincinnati. Also a candidate, incredibly clean prospects, just, you know, great film from this past year, excellent athlete, a great kid as well. He's a workout warrior. The guy cannot be removed from the weight room except for when he is practicing or playing football. So you like all of that as well.
Love that.
The last one, that'll, yeah, you love that. He's kind of like you. That's how you maintain your shape, obviously. You're the rare athlete who seems to be in just as good a shape as he was during his playing days. Makes me very envious of you in many, many ways. Last one, Carp, would be if we think Leiatu Latu gets a medical clean bill of health. Pass rusher from UCLA. I thought he had the best tape this past season. I don't think it's even close. He had 13 sacks, second in the FBS in pressures behind only Washington's Braylon Trice over the past two seasons. I mean, the guy is an absolute menace. NFL teams need pass rushers, but just a few years ago, he was medically retired from football. Beyond that, just a few years ago, beyond that, he is an older prospect relative to Dallas Turner. He's been in college for longer, not a premier athlete, but I think the tape is so, so good that I will be very, very hard-pressed to bypass Leiatu Latu if I needed the pass rusher in this draft.
Along with Field Yates of ESPN, going to be anchoring the draft coverage on ABC Thursday, Friday night. So be sure to check him out. One of my favorites, does a great job all the time, all across the platforms over at the ESPN family. And, you know, one guy here in Columbus who used to have a lot of intrigue for coaching up in Michigan, now Jim Harbaugh out in Los Angeles with the Chargers. They're another team, Field, sitting there in the top five, could be an inflection point. They obviously have Justin Herbert, don't need a quarterback. Do you see them staying? What do they need? Where do you think this could hinge?
I kind of feel like the Chargers are waiting for the Cardinals to make the move in this regard. If the Cardinals trade back, I think it's going to be really hard for the Chargers to move back as well. If the Cardinals stay put, the Chargers might well be inclined to move back with Minnesota, because you could get basically the same trade that Minnesota would offer to go from 11 to 4 to go from 11 to 5. And I heard Pat McAfee and the boys reading Jim Harbaugh's sort of, I think it's Rules of Life or 12 Rules of Life, his personal commandments. Shefty had brought a business card with them. And one of the rules was, don't try to win every fight in the first round. And along those lines, the Chargers have some needs right now, including wide receiver. But this is the step one of Lord knows how long. I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh probably wants to be a football coach till the day he dies, and he's showing no signs of slowing up, right? So just because they need a wide receiver right now, I do not necessarily think it means that they are going to force the issue and not be eyes opened to other available offers. I think it is a totally 100% completely justifiable selection for the Chargers to take a wide receiver at number 5 overall. Let me be very clear on that. But they also may say, while we love these receivers, we love the flexibility a trade down affords us, and that might be more important to a team that feels like they've got a lot of needs to fill in this various roster.
All right, Field, in about your last minute or so here, appreciate you taking some time. I know you're incredibly busy this week. You got any surprises, something you think that could happen that maybe no one else is seeing coming, a shock that you think is out there that maybe is a little under the radar right now?
Well, I don't know how much of a shock this is or what it would be, but I'll just say this. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about whether Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison would be the first wide receiver taken off the board. I'm not even sure that Malik Nabers is the second wide receiver off the board. He could be the first, Carp. I love the player. I absolutely love him. Yeah. I've got Marvin is number 3 on my overall big board. Malik Nabers is number 4. So if this happened, it's not how I feel. But Rome Odunze might end up being the second wide receiver off the board. I just want people to be prepared for anything with those top three wide receivers. Really, Carp, I mean, it's choosing between. This is like as good as it gets, right? I mean, I think all three of these guys will be day one, instant impact, number one wide receivers. Like, I just don't think there's any way that those guys slide too far. And I think it's really possible that Rome Odunze ends up going ahead of Malik Nabers. I think all three guys end up being top seven or eight picks. So it is it's a good time right now if you need a wide receiver and you have one of those top 10 picks.
Absolutely. It's kind of like picking what your favorite flavor of ice cream is. You really can't.
Amen. Between kids, right? It's like between kids.
Yeah. Absolutely. Love absolutely. We appreciate it, Phil. Thank you for spending some time with us today. You know, get back, keep working. I know you got a million other things and try to get some rest. All right.
Thanks, Carp. Talk to you soon, man.
Bob and Field Yates with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Great stuff out of you guys. If you thought it's been a while since the Browns have drafted a player in the first round, just wait until you hear about this other NFL team. That and Quick Hitters next. Morning Juice right here on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, two things we want to flag on your Central Ohio roadways. The first one out in the Dublin area. Lanes are blocked on 33 eastbound leading up to the 270 loop. Again, that's in the Dublin area. This is a crash just beyond Avery Murfield Drive. Keep that in mind if you're coming in from Dublin this morning. Also, on the southeast side, crews are responding to a crash on Hamilton Road. Traffic is slow moving leading up to the 33 west and eastbound ramps. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan track.
Bobby is known as the General. Beamer is known as Beamer. This is Morning Juice.
We here on The Juice are brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Healthy Leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can always visit them on the line at feelgreatcolumbus.com.
Morning Juice presents Quick Hitters.
Sponsored by Schottenstein Roofing. For top quality and a price match guarantee, visit schottensteinroofing.com.
Sharky?
Yes.
Happy Coaster Bob Day to you.
Coaster Bob coming up in about 38 minutes.
Bob Ooh. Already had Coaster Bob Day yesterday, 9 a.m.
Bob who?
Bob Carpenter.
Oh. Good call. He's off Friday. You know, some joke that Caitlin Clark would take a huge pay cut going from the all that NIL money at Iowa to the somewhat mediocre wages in the WNBA. Don't you worry about little old Caitlin. She is getting an 8-year, $28 million contract from Nike. Apparently, Under Armour and Adidas were trying to get Clark to sign with them, but in the end, Beamer, the swoosh won out.
Yeah, so she had a bunch of different deals on the table for, this was from the Wall Street Journal and The Athletic. Puma also showed some interest, but walked away when the bidding war was told to them that it would start at $3 million per year. Caitlin Clark received offers of $16 million over 4 years from Under Armour and $6 million over 4 years from Adidas, with both including a signature shoe. According to the Wall Street Journal, Clark earned about $3 million in NIL money in Iowa with deals that she had with State Farm, Gatorade, and others. Her agent was working on a new Nike contract even before she announced she would turn pro instead of returning to Iowa for a fifth year under the COVID exemption, offered her to play another year. Let's say that's pretty good, man. Which is a strong reason why the title game reached 18.9 million viewers. 2.45 million people watched the WNBA draft, and Nike signed an 8-year, $28 million contract with her, and she gets her signature shoe. Yeah, it's a good bit of business by her and her agent.
Oh, huge. I mean, this was big, and people wanted to see the final number. They said it was going to be, you know, an 8-figure deal, and I was thinking, 10, 11, 12 million. No, it was healthy. They said well over 20, now 28, almost $30 million. Kudos to her. They must see the value in it, and when you're packing that many people to watch games in person and games on TV, it makes sense. We'll see if that now translates to WNBA. I mean, they've sold out a ton of tickets in Indiana thus far, and I assume that that'll continue to grow there.
In 2016, the Los Angeles Rams had the first overall pick in the draft and selected Jared Goff. They haven't had a first-round pick since then.
But they've won a Super Bowl.
Washington once went 11 straight drafts without a first-round pick. That was back in the 70s. The Rams are now second with 7 straight drafts without a first-rounder. They do have one this year, number 19 overall, but there's no guarantee they'll keep it. Yesterday, Bobby, Rams GM Les Snead admitted that trading the pick is on the table.
Absolutely. He's a guy that loves to trade him. Trade up. Trade out. Get some players.
Blank those picks.
Blank those picks. That's why they're in a little bit of purgatory now, but they've got to figure out. They've got some good young wide receivers. Aaron Donald just retired. They've got some holes. But they played pretty well to finish last year, so we'll see how this roster shakes out and what they ultimately do.
Yeah, they gave everything for that Super Bowl, didn't they? And then you saw a couple of years, okay, we're starting to rebuild. Puka Nacua was a great draft pick for them, shattering all kinds of rookie records last year, and they're competitive. And what is a monstrously competitive division out there in the NFC West. So some draft help, I'd imagine that either, I mean, they're going to have a first round pick. I can't see them trading two or three times like out of the first round, but hey, who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, I saw that story. That's been a long, long time. Shark, you thought it was long for the Browns not having a pick this year. And think if you were a Rams fan, not having a pick going on 7-8 years.
But you got a Super Bowl out of
it. You did. I think you would trade those picks for a Super Bowl.
Browns probably will get a Super Bowl out of their lack of first round picks, I'm guessing. John Rahm likes playing 72-hole events, but he's only playing 54-hole tournaments because he's on the LIV Tour. And when the best player on your tour talks, people listen. Rahm discussed with reporters during Masters Week his desire to extend LIV events to 72 holes. Well, the tour's CEO, Greg Norman, said he's open-minded about the idea of moving to 72 holes. But, Beamer, it may not have the blessing of the Saudis, who are financing the tour, or LIV's TV partner.
I mean, what do you do with a name? Like, that's my question, because LIV is L-I-V. That's the Roman numeral for 54. You change it to Lexi, L-X-X-I-I. Like, that's the Roman numeral for 72. What do you do? What do you do with the name?
Are you speaking for everybody here in the tournament?
He's just speaking for himself.
Yeah, you can
see. More money, less golf.
Yeah, that was the plan, right? Less tournaments, four rounds. Uh-huh. Don't need that crap. If I'm Dustin, if I'm these other guys, hey, shut your mouth, Rahm. Just take your paycheck.
What if I can guarantee you official world golf ranking points, so if you go to 72, and that way then you could play in all of the major tournaments instead of having to like qualify on your previous merits on the tour? Hey,
you want to know what's going to happen? They're going to get ranking points for the 54.
No, they're not.
Buddy, this is going to have PGA's imploding. They like, don't have any money right now. Like, you've read the articles.
I have.
You've seen what's happening. Mm-hmm. It is like
player dispersion checks coming out today for being loyal to the tour. Yeah. So we'll see what those look like.
Yeah, I mean, the Jay Monahan was similar to Jan Levinson Gould. He is now a dwarf star.
Jan Levinson Gould.
That is burning, turning in upon himself and burning out.
You're never going to guess where the Buckeyes ranked in spring game attendance. Yes, you will. That's next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now, two things we want to flag for you across your interstates. The first one, out in the Dublin area, lanes are blocked on 33 eastbound leading up to the 270 loop. Again, that's in the Dublin area. There is a crash just beyond Avery Murfield Drive that has traffic very slow moving leading up to 270 this morning. Also on the southeast side, crews are responding to a crash on Hamilton Road. Again, that's on the southeast side leading up to those 33 east and westbound entrance ramps. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
Counting down the days until Shark's retirement. You're listening to Morning Juice.
Hour number two of the program for us on a Wednesday. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark coming up here 7:35 this morning. Timmy May, Letterman Rowe, he's going to join the program. Going to break down some Buckeyes in the draft. Going to talk some little off-season football with Ohio State with Timmy May at 7:35. If you missed Field Yates in the 6 o'clock hour, fear not, we're going to replay that for you coming up here at 8:35 a little bit later on here this morning. Great stuff from Field as he will be anchoring on ABC for tomorrow's draft on Friday and then swapping over to ESPN coming up here for the later rounds on Saturday. So great stuff from you and Field a little bit earlier on. If you missed him again, 8:35 is when he's going to reappear.
Keeping you informed about what's trending this morning, it's time for a little re-rack on Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus, your destination for top-of-the-line grills with up to 30-year warranties. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Big one tonight, Bob. Crew, Monterey, first leg of two.
$50 million on the line.
$50 million on the line, you're right.
Four more wins.
Three more?
Yeah, that's right. It's only one off in the championship.
Well, one leg final for
you. I would even say really two wins and a tie, or win, tie, win.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, win, tie, win would, of course, get you in.
You'll get you there, and then you need to win the last one.
Oh, my God. Think about that. Crew playing in the FIFA Club World Cup next year in the States. How crazy would that be?
Getting a chance to play in the Champions League after that. Elevating all the way up.
Just going to move the crew over to Europe. Just going to be playing an entirely European-based schedule.
What's Ryan Reynolds' team's name?
Oh, Wrexham.
They replace Wrexham over there?
Wrexham just got promoted again, too, by the way. So they started out when they bought them. So the like European system, they have a tier. So like the Premier League is number one in England. And then
how many tiers are there?
I don't even know.
Endless?
And I think there's like 20 tiers.
So you could just start a team.
And then work your way all the way up. Yeah, you could do that. And a lot, like once you get past like the fourth division, the fourth tier, they're professional teams, but like most of the players have other jobs. Like they get paid.
Oh, yeah. We call that semi-pro here in the States.
So Wrexham was in the fifth tier, and then they moved their way up. So it goes Premier League, Championship is the second tier, League One is the third, League Two is the fourth tier.
What about Bundesliga?
The Bundesliga is the top tier in Germany. So like that's Germany's version of the Premier League. So all these different countries have different tiers and different systems. But Wrexham, yeah, they just got promoted again. They're going to be in League One, which is now the third tier. When they started this, they were the fifth. Like when they bought it, they were in the fifth tier. So they've got promoted now in back-to-back years, and they're going to be in the third.
So they were the Rectum. Now they're working into Wrexham. I like
that. That's a great line. Yeah, great line. So
give that to Ryan. He can use that. Bought them, we were Rectum. Now we're actually turned into Wrexham.
I mean, what's better than that, man? So you have Monterey coming into town tonight, which should be an incredible atmosphere over at Lower.com Field. That's an 8:15 start. I'm not going to the game.
A-Ward Sports going to the game?
That's a good question. I would imagine that he is going to the game.
Out of our regular guests, Bode's going?
Yeah, Bode's might be going. He's not doing anything.
What you need to do tomorrow, you need to have a list of our guests who have gone to that game.
Murph will be there for sure.
The Murph dog, okay. Yeah.
Murph will be there for sure. Austin will probably be at the game. Chris Doran will be at the game. I know that for a fact.
Chris will be working.
Yeah, Chris will be working.
I want people that are going to be there drunk.
Bez will be at the game. He might be drunk, the general manager of the Crew.
Of course, yeah. I would be.
If they win, for sure. So it should be a good one tonight, man. Super excited about that. 8:15 start for them. It's huge. And then the return leg happens next week on Wednesday, back down in Mexico. So awesome, awesome night, hopefully, for the black and gold. So I watched Southpaw last night. You've been on me for a couple of weeks to do this. Sat down last night. I'm like, what else is going on?
Like Jake Gyllenhaal. Maybe we're talking about Jake Gyllenhaal's birthday.
Maybe Jake Gyllenhaal plays.
It may have been Rachel McAdams' birthday.
I think that's what it was. Rachel McAdams is not in the movie very long.
Tragic, I know.
I went into the movie dry.
Really, I know. I didn't want to give that to you.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
He's like, that can't happen. What?
I felt like I was watching Game of Thrones.
Yes, 100%.
Main character.
Main character.
Half an hour in, boom.
Got this nice, great story about how it all worked out.
Yeah.
Until then, everything is stripped away from you like Job. Terrible.
So Meredith comes down.
So that's kind of the low point of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
He reaches a pretty low point in the movie.
Him losing
the daughter. Gets another month. He's already kind of on the road to recovery. Then gets the title shot back again. Him losing, I think, just getting his brains beat in by a guy who he was supposed to just demolish. Like, that was a pretty low point. Overall, good movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Meredith came down without seeing the first, like, that first half hour. So, like, the plot line advancer. And so she just came down when his daughter was getting, like, ripped away from him. She's like, what are you watching? I was like,
promises too.
This time with a redeeming quality of an end. And at the very end, I was like, don't tell me that he's going to lose. I was so happy that they made it a happy ending instead of a sad one.
If it had been Eastern Promises, you would have lost. It would have been terrible. At least I said, watching that movie, it's the full gamut of emotions.
It is.
What a great story. Mm. Love story, couple orphans at the beginning.
Yeah. Watching out for your friends, people like scattered like roaches if you hit the bottom.
Yeah, like life seems to work out pretty good. And then all of a sudden it's like stripped away.
Right off a cliff.
And I'm like, oh, can this get any worse? Oh, but wait, it can. Oh, but wait, it can again. Yeah. Like this is just unraveling. I'm like, Jake, get it together. Come on, you can still salvage this.
She came down to Meredith.
I drank so much in the middle part of that movie.
God, it's so depressing.
It is.
Super depressing.
But it ends on a good note.
Forrest Whitaker with an all-time line too really in that movie. He's awesome in it. When he says, drinking is a solo sport. Yeah. Like, that is a great one.
That's I forgot really about good. That one.
I thought you said he didn't drink. Oh, can't a man pick up a new habit?
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
I figured you would. It's, yeah. I mean, the storyline, everything, like, there's a lot to it. And like I told you, it is the full gamut. You live a whole day watching that movie.
Yeah.
Mary just got like,
got thrown into the
mud. Was thrown into the bot. The
it was as soon as he crashed his car, he comes in, daughter gets ripped away in the court case. Yeah. They're screaming like, I want to live with you. And then she's like, I can't watch this. So then she left.
How much did you like 50 Cent in that movie?
Yeah. Real sleazeball. Oh, real bad guy.
I mean, I was like, I've always liked you and now I hate you.
I thought for sure, like after Jake Gyllenhaal had won the fight at the very end, that a 50 was going to come back and be like, I knew that you had it in you. And I thought he was going to get
beat down then.
Yeah. But it was good that they just kind of let that lie. It ended good. I would recommend it. I put it off a little bit too long, but that's all right. We got it accomplished.
Listen, man, when you stumble into that, I had no idea what I was in for, just like you did.
It's pretty dark. Yeah. So
If Rocky is like the original Batmans in the 90s, this is like the Christian Bale versions of Rocky.
Almost more like the Robert Pattinson Batman. Yes. That's super dark.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Except there's the redeeming quality at the end, and so you feel good about it.
Jake Gyllenhaal, really good at playing like a fighter and really good at playing a weirdo.
Yes.
Those are like his two roles that he's kind of been pinholed into.
Yeah.
And Donnie Darko, one of the weirdest.
I give him credit.
I've seen.
He gets jacked in that movie. He does. And does a good job.
Yeah.
You know?
How do they do the makeup on his eye? Like his eye was sagging the entire movie.
I don't know. Don't ask questions. Maybe he was just having someone hit him in the face every morning.
Yeah, he may have. Would it surprise you that Ohio State had the number one spring game attendance in all the country?
Gosh, it's crazy because I remember, they were getting 90, 100,000 people. And now I think this is where we're kind of at in sport. I mean, obviously, a lot of it's weather dependent. Weather was pretty good that day, sunny but windy. There's a lot of intrigue around this team. But, with Saban gone at Bama, I think they're behind Kalen DeBoer, and maybe there's intrigue there. But, yeah, Ohio State is a behemoth, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still Ohio, I forget, on one of our other airways, was it? I think Bo was out maybe, and Chops was talking to someone, and Reese or Baker, whoever was in, about what do you know what Ohio is ranking based upon population statewide in the country?
Seventh.
Yeah, it's seven.
And it's the 11th biggest for area, maybe?
11 million.
Okay.
It's seventh largest, 11 million people.
Okay.
Roughly. And everyone's like 10th, 13th, high, bigger, but I'm like, it's the seventh biggest country. And I mean, you have state in the country. I'm like, you have Cincinnati. I always tell people Ohio is the seventh biggest state, and Columbus is the fastest growing city, becoming the largest metro area. Like the professional sports teams here, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Detroit, a little like people that have moved in from other areas and following. But I'm like, almost all of those people are Ohio State fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some Notre Dame, you got some Cincinnati and Kentucky
some
down
come
south.
Here from other places and go to school at Ohio State.
You've got Toledo, maybe some Michigan up north. Going to be there. But I'm like, for the most part, like there's 10 million people or 11 million people in the state. And I go, I think 10 million of them care about the Buckeyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, I don't know if that's a gross exaggeration in saying that. So it shouldn't come as a surprise when you see this.
To give you other numbers, so Ohio State got 80,000 in there. Alabama was 70.
80-11, right? 12? It was like 80,000.
80,012.
12, I think they threw that on there.
A nice little 12 banger for you at the end of that. So 80K for the Buckeyes. 72,000 for Alabama, which is a nice number for them. Penn State got 67,000. Georgia, 55. Florida, 48. Clemson, 47. So Oklahoma's at 45. I think Texas's number wasn't right. It was more at 50 than 40. Here's where it gets interesting to me, though. Notre Dame spring game, 37,000. Michigan, reigning national champions, 31,000.
Which is surprising because they had J.J. McCarthy, all those guys were back. Even if you don't think the team's going to be as good, it's more of a celebration of the last year's team and some of those guys being
like there. In the 15 spring game, I mean, that's when you got 100,000 people in, right?
Yeah, you had the whole crew. Yeah. Trophies out there, Zeke, everybody's running around, Cardell, like you feel good about everyone that's out there.
So Syracuse actually had 16,000, which I think is a pretty good number for them. It's a lot of hype around the program.
How many?
16K.
It's actually not bad.
The University of Miami.
The U, baby?
The U.
Are they back?
They're back. Shark, Bob, care to take a stab at how many people
3,900
were in attendance for the University of Miami spring game?
9,000.
So listen, 9,000 they have about 100 players, maybe 110. I say four family members per player, maybe some friends. Add in a couple of local fans. I'm going to say 4,700.
1,000.
That's awesome. That is great.
1,000 people.
That is about 10 people for every person on the field.
There is more people that go to a Grandview Heights Bobcats football game on Friday nights than there is the University
Which
of Miami.
I think there's been more people at a middle school.
Of course. Game. I mean, of course.
They play like the Arlington Jones Hastings game. I'm pretty sure garners significantly more than 1,000.
Florida State people. Stadium's under construction. They had 18,000. I'm not going to knock them for that. A lot of hype coming into this year. Florida's at 48K, so it's not like schools in your state are drawing bad numbers. But Miami, 1,000 people.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other things to do there. That's what people keep telling me. Mm-hmm. I just say they're not good sports fans.
Good luck getting a hold of Mel Kiper during draft week, or really any time at all. That's next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. We've got a lot of traffic issues out there this morning. The first one out in the Dublin area, 33 eastbound, slow moving, leading up to 270. Again, that's in Dublin because of a crash just beyond Avery Murfield Drive. Traffic, again, slow moving as you approach the 270 loop. Also on the southeast side, still watching crews respond to a crash on Hamilton Road. This is as you're approaching the 33 entrance and exit ramps at Hamilton Road. Last but not least, far east side, I-70 westbound, slow moving because of a crash that has the left lane blocked. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
You're listening to Rob Manfred's least favorite radio show. This is Morning Juice.
Here's along here, Wednesday edition of the program. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. Coming up here, 7:35, Tim May, Letterman Rowe. He will digress us in our next segment. He tweeted at 2:30 this morning. I don't know he's doing. I have no clue what Timmy May was doing.
Southpaw last night.
Yeah. It's really a terrible movie, but it was a good movie, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah. It's depressing.
Yeah.
But it's uplifting. And the worst thing is I wanted you to go into it just like I did.
No. Not on a Tuesday.
Because I remember seeing the previews. I was like, oh, this kind of looks like a Rocky-esque movie, except maybe a little more depth and plot, maybe like Rocky 1 as opposed to the rest of them. And I'm like, gosh, this is like all the Rockies wrapped together, but with a Rocky 5 undertone, but worse. I mean, my goodness. And then at least it gives you the payoff at the end where you feel good about life.
It does feel good.
Watching personal, like interpersonal struggle, yeah. Intrapersonal struggles, like the you versus you. I mean, just all this stuff. Like you can handle losses and different things. But when people are like literally at the bottom, just being scraped off. There's nothing. The things that they valued in life are all just stripped from them. And not even the material possessions, like the relationships, the things that were there.
Everything gone.
Family, kids, all that stuff. And there's nothing.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in an apartment the crappy apartment by themselves.
What do you say? It's a 300 square foot box.
Yes.
It's awful.
Describing it like, oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I think they're going to make a Southpaw 2.
I don't know if that's in the plans. I think that was a one-off.
I don't think there is either. Good luck getting a hold of Mel Kiper during draft time. So Todd McShay was on Pardon My Take the other day, and I didn't know this about Mel Kiper, but...
Is this real where he doesn't have a cell phone?
This is...
I saw a GIF. Mel Kiper doesn't have a cell phone, but has four landlines.
Listen to this. So this is Todd McShay on Pardon My Take earlier this week.
Mel Kiper doesn't own a cell phone, and he has five house phones?
Yes. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 different numbers for Mel. And if I want to text, I was just texting the other, if I want to get through to Mel, look at all these texts. It's to Kim.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's to his wife.
And Kim writes back, hey, Todd, how are you? Yeah, I'll ask him. I'm sure he'll get back to you today. I'm like, all right, great. And I always busted him on that. And the problem is you call the house. And Kim will pick up and be like, hey, and I'll talk to Kim for like 10 minutes before I even get to Mel. And then Mel will pick up from a different landline, right? It's not like a cell phone at home. It's like back in like the 80s where it's like you hear another phone. Hey, Todd, how are you? What's going on? You
know, yeah.
It's definitely a throwback. I just picture Kiper like pacing with the cord getting stuck around him.
I mean, the fact that Mel Kiper is one of the biggest like draft analysts. and does all these hits on ESPN, and I can just picture him like Coach Klein and the water boy wrapped around that green phone in his house.
I'm trying to figure out when he travels, what he does.
I don't know.
That's the biggest thing. I can understand the landlines of the home. The fact that your wife, he's kind of like my dad. I mean, my mom just gave my dad his old cell phone. I mean, if your number isn't in there, he won't answer.
But he doesn't have one.
That's what I'm saying, but not having one at all. And he has a job that when he travels, like, people have to get a hold of him. I mean, how does he get, you know, so here's the thing. Like, a lot of these people text. You see Shefty texting people. He's texting
all the
people
time.
On air.
Yeah.
And people send him, like,
I guess Mel's not breaking any news.
Yeah, but he talks to all these people.
Yeah.
So you're telling me he literally has to talk to all of them because no one's texting him. True or false?
Like, yeah, you're right.
If he has landlines, I mean, send him emails.
So I have a
letters,
buddy.
Facsimiles?
I have a buddy who is from Manchester. He comes over here and he's been living over here for the better part of like the last 2 years. He just had to go back to England and then he's going to come back. He's like
a visa?
That. Yeah, he doesn't have a visa, so he's got to go back. But then I think he's going to come back in the fall for a few weeks. So that's good. He's always going to come back.
What here. Did he come over here for?
He came over here to work. Like he had like a some sort of like internship or something like that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty awesome. And
some sort of internship or something like that.
I think. And the reason why we know him is because we used to go down to Zaftig to watch Manchester United.
Yeah.
And they had the big Manchester United flag on like the corner of
the So he was the drunk at the corner of the bar.
No, he doesn't drink. He doesn't drink at all.
Is he the one that used to be a drug addict?
No, that's a different one.
Okay.
Both named Joe, different Joes. And so
How about the football coach Joe?
That might be the same guy as American Joe.
Okay.
But British Joe, as we like to call him, British Joe doesn't have a cell phone. And British Joe is as old as I am. So British Joe, the only way that you can get a hold of him is by sending him an email.
He's your age?
He is my age.
Living
He's 30 years old.
Nation.
Living in a foreign country without a cell phone. Just hasn't an email.
What type of internship does he have?
I don't know.
Is he some sort of logs forestman? Like,
what forest are you going to do here?
You go down to Southeast Ohio, you can do...
No, he lives with no cell phone. So if you like wanted to communicate to him, like, hey, we're getting together, we want to do something, and this will be like...
How does he talk to people across the pond? Does he have a calling card?
No, I think he just does like FaceTime on his computer. Like, he's got like Skype or Zoom.
There's a lot of questions that need to be answered.
So
here.
I'm wondering, and that's just coming over here for an internship. He might have a pager.
Is hotel pager friendly?
I've never talked to him on the phone. But I'm just imagining, like, he's coming over here for an internship. It's one thing. You don't want technology. That's fine. But, like, we're talking about Mel Kiper. Just not
but
having
Mel Kiper's
a cell phone.
Also, I'm guessing Mel Kiper is almost 70 years old. I'm thinking he's around my dad's age. He might be
63. He's shark's age.
So it's one thing to be a 63-year-old man and not have a cell phone because you didn't grow up with a cell phone. Mm-hmm. You didn't have one. It's another thing being to be someone who's your age, where now I think in hospitals they give you a cell phone into the baby crib. They just attach it to them.
Yeah.
You get a number.
I think Willie got microchipped when he was born.
Right in the neck.
Like Theo.
Vaccines
Theo's chipped.
And chipped right there. They put the Google thing right in the temple, and now you can see things.
Elon's chip. What are you talking about?
Even better. Get them both. Why not? That way you can play both sides. But to be a 30-year-old man in a foreign nation without a cell phone.
None.
I mean, that's the thought of that. The prospect of that is terrifying to me. I mean, it really is.
Doesn't have a car, walks everywhere.
What the heck is this guy?
I don't know. He might be
Hobo
some sort of...
He's Hobo Joe.
He might be some sort of sleeper cell.
Does he have a place to live?
Yeah. Yeah, he has an apartment. This, the company that he's interning for like supplied him. He lived across the street from the bar. That's the only reason he knew.
They supplied him with one. So he... I mean, are we sure that he is actually a real person?
I don't know. That's a great point.
Is he like Jason Bourne, like fully off the grid? This is. There's so many more questions here, Beam. The amount of Joes you know and the diversity of Joes you know.
Too many Joes.
Is amazing. Played for a drunk named Joe, drug addict Joe, British Joe.
Former.
Oh, rehabilitated.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's always in there, Beam. You're one false step away.
It's true.
From being right back where you were. I want to tell you about this, though. Some good news. I want to tell you about local Pella Windows and Doors. Spring is here, and now is the time to get your windows looking the best they can be. There's one simple way to do that. It's time to call your local Pella Windows and Doors. Pella, They've got all the options. They've got the, they have the colors and styles to fit your home. And here's more importantly, your budget. Pella is rated number one by Columbus Homeowners as the most trusted window brand. So you can get replacement windows and doors that will add value to your home for years to come and save you money on your utility bills today. Call 877-98-PELLA. Go visit their new showroom in Polaris or check them out online at PellaColumbus.com.
Timmy May of Letterman Row, he's going to join us. We'll break down the latest of the Buckeyes and what to expect in tomorrow's draft with him next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now, multiple traffic issues we're watching. The first on 33 eastbound. As you approach the 270 loop out in Dublin, lanes are blocked over there because of a crash that crews are responding to. Crews also responding to a crash on Hamilton Road on the southeast side. Traffic is slow moving leading up to the entrance and exit ramps of 33 over there. Last but not least, far east side, I-70 westbound, just beyond State Route 310. The left lane blocked over there in those westbound lanes of I-70. Traffic is slow moving coming in from the far east side. I'm 10TV's Amy Stutterwald with your fan track.
Beamer and Shark love baseball. Bobby wants to murder Rob Manfred with his bare hands. See? A little something for everyone. This is Morning Juice.
Oh, the road to the NBA Finals, it starts now. Actually, it started last week. And new customers on FanDuel, you can get your own playoff run going with $150. Just place, it's easy, $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, whether your team or bet wins or loses during the NBA playoffs. So what's great, you've got the Cavs. You've got the Magic. Cavs up 2-0. They're playing, what, Thursday?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. How good is that going to be? Lots of options out there. Can the Lakers bounce back? Probably not, but you can bet on LeBron, get some same-game parlays, Beam. There's a lot of action that you can pick up.
Will the 76ers give up a five-point lead with 20 seconds left to go in the game for a second straight game? First basket score, over-under, three-pointers, points totals. You can even parlay your stuff into an even bigger payday. So go to FanDuel.com/juice to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 and older, present in Ohio. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets. That expires 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Right now we're heading out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Check with our good friend Letterman Row. He is Timmy May. Timmy, why are you tweeting at 2:30 in the morning? What was going on last night?
Dude, I shouldn't air my predicament, but I don't go to sleep real easy and I don't get up real easy. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. I get it.
And I'm 70, so sometimes I go to sleep about 8:30 and then wake up again about 9:30, and then, you know what I mean? I'm like my dad. But anyway, that's why. Plus, when I see something interesting one way or the other, I like to let the rest of the world know it by a repost.
Oh, absolutely. It's the best way for you to do it, too. Wow,
what did I tweet at 2:30 in the morning?
I don't know. I just saw it when I got up at 4 this morning. I saw Tim May had tweeted an hour ago. I'm like, that's a late night for him, and he's going to be on our show here in about 3.5 hours.
Exactly. So you're definitely right. I mean, I definitely hit the sacks at that point and got my beauty sleep. Too bad it didn't work. I just looked in the mirror.
All right, Timmy, let's get going here.
Hold on, I have a quick question, for Tim. Right. So do you just wake up then and start looking at your phone? Because my wife does that, and I tell her that's the worst thing you can do, Tim, to go back to sleep.
So, no, sometimes I do. But here's the thing. I mean, I use credit card for all purchases and then pay it off immediately the next day, you know, whatever, and just so you don't have a credit card balance. Yeah. And so the first thing I do every day is check a couple of bank balances to make sure someone hadn't pilfered, you know, the May fortune. So, and then I move on from there. So it's called presence of mind, you know, and also, you know, feeling good about yourself financially headed into the day.
Absolutely it is. Tim, we got the draft coming up tomorrow here. Marvin Harrison Jr. going to be likely the only Buckeye taken here in the first round. And the Pantheon, and you've seen a lot of Buckeye football over the years.
Oh, no. You're going to make me rank them again.
I'm not going to make you rank them, but, I mean, when it comes to what an organization is getting in the NFL draft when they select Marv, what are they getting in that young man?
Well, the most important thing they're getting vis-a-vis a wide receiver is a guy that catches almost every ball you throw to him. So that's always the most important thing about a wide receiver. And in past that, you're getting, in my opinion, an elite route runner, and you're getting a guy that I think is underrated from a speed standpoint. You know, there was a picture. I think Marty Smith posed with both Marvin and his dad the other day. And I've said this about Marvin since he showed up. He's a taller, faster, larger version of his dad. And that's saying a hell of a lot when you consider his dad's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But that's what you're getting. Plus, you're getting a great individual. Y'all been around him. I mean, I've been around him a lot. I mean, obviously, just a tremendous human being. And I was telling somebody the other day, I actually walked to him after practice one day last fall and said, you know, I want to know something, Marvin. I said, you know, on top of everything else, I said, I think you're just a tremendous artist. And he is. He's an artist at what he does. Like a ballet dancer would be an artist. And that's what stands out to me most about what separates him, about being one of the guys that only comes around every so often. I think Julio Jones, to a certain extent, was like that at Alabama. You know, and I could name you a few other guys. But that's what stands out. I mean, you're as good as receivers have been before him and will be after him at Ohio State in his own way. He has his own niche.
He really does. And like you said, so we talked to Tim May here, Letterman Row on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. You know, Tim, you said he's kind of a, you know, taller, faster, you know, stronger, like his dad, just a little bit more amplified in a number of ways.
Yeah.
And people have been comparing him and Malik Nabers, and maybe Malik Nabers, I think, is a little more explosive coming out of breaks and maybe off the jump, not as big, so acceleration might be a little bit better. But the one thing Marv gives you, and you look at what his dad did, I mean, the element of consistency, Tim, and how he goes about the process, I mean, being around him for the last 3 years, I think that's something that's really underrated.
Absolutely. Because, you know, Bobby, I mean, you didn't really know. I didn't really know what to expect of him when he first showed up because, like I said, he could have been just a prima donna, you know, and with a dad like that. I mean, with a dad, you know, Hall of Fame dad, et cetera, and things just expect to be put at his feet. But he's worked for every inch he's gotten. You know, the Monarch Machine is a great example of him just continuing to catch passes to make it a habit, you know, not something extraordinary, but a habit. And that's what stands out about him as much as anything. You know, in the comparison with Malik Nabers, I've got on my podcast this week, I got Matt Wilhelm on again, but I've also got my annual visit with my friend Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback. And that was what we were talking about, the difference between a Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. Malik Nabers is just, wow, explosive. You know, it depends on your taste, right, and what you want in your wide receiver. But I think there's a couple of Malik Nabers types in this draft, but there's only one Marvin Harrison Jr. type, you know. And Adunzi, I mean, that guy's a hell of a wide receiver, et cetera. But Malik Nabers can take the top off of things. He can rip through. But you know, Marv is just different.
Before we get you out of here, Tim, quiet on the portal combat front for the Buckeyes, both players leaving and coming in here. Your thoughts on that?
I would think it's kind of like an NFL team that doesn't take part in too much free agency. They're sitting pat with the cards they've got. I would think they still might be interested in an offensive lineman if, in fact, they have room for such on the roster. And, you know, you'll always take a super talented guy at any position, but it's rare that you get that, in my opinion, the second time around in the second time around in the portal every year, because to a certain extent you're getting someone who's probably not going to play on the team they're on, with rare exceptions. And you know, like Josh Simmons last year, that ended up being a huge pickup. So it's not over till it's over. But we've talked about it all year, right? This is a stacked roster, and it looked that way in the spring.
Absolutely did. And there's why 80,000 people were at the spring game, and that was the most in the country. Timmy, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us here this morning. We'll ask on the pantheon of achievements for Albert Breer tomorrow when we have him on, where it ranks for him to be invited on your podcast. Appreciate it, Tim. Go back to sleep, and we'll check in again soon, all right?
It's got to be a 9.8 out of 10, I'm thinking. And by the way, Bobby, I always thought he was a bigger, faster, maybe stronger version of your dad, but y'all didn't play the same position.
Yeah, unfortunately, he was a better player than I was, but I tried.
Your dad was as tough a football player as he's ever come down the pike. I just wanted to get that in there. So, anyway, I got to watch him play, you know what I mean? So, anyway, that's where I am on that one.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. I know he will as well. Listens every day, so that's his main activity now is listening to the morning show, getting him up and getting juice. So
there you go. Getting him dressed, letting him listen to you talk. There you go. I hear you.
See you, Timmy. Have a great day, buddy.
See you, fellas.
There he goes. Tim May, Letterman Row. Timmy May podcast. Tim May podcast with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Absolute best. We're going to get juice next. Morning juice right here on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. We've got a couple issues to let you know about. Watch for slow-moving traffic in the Dublin area on 33 eastbound as you approach 270 from a crash from earlier this morning. It's cleared up, but traffic is still a little bit slow-moving leading up to that 270 loop. Also, on the southeast side, crews still responding to a crash on Hamilton Road as you approach the 33 westbound and eastbound entrance ramps. Lastly, on the far east side, I-70 westbound just beyond State Route 310. The left lane slightly blocked off coming in from the far east side. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan
Nation.
If this show made a scented candle, it would smell like bad coffee, unwashed jockstrap, and grass clippings.
I wasn't sure how you take your coffee.
You're listening to Morning Juice.
So, mouth or enema?
We here on The Juice are brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Healthy Leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can always visit them on the line at feelgreatcolumbus.com.
What's got you juiced?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, Bob, little Wednesday, buddy. Getting out of town tomorrow evening. What's got you juiced?
Yeah, I got tomorrow evening, dude. Getting out of town tomorrow after the show.
Even better.
Car will be running the whole time. Be ready to rock and get out of here. So I'm excited. I always love doing my last today in history of the week because it feels like there's a sense of accomplishment that's been achieved. Juiced up. Tomorrow's the draft. We're going to have Field Yates on here.
Yeah.
Coming back up. Caught up with him yesterday. So super excited to hear from him. He's going to be anchoring the draft. And friend of mine from ESPN, happy to watch him work his way up. And the fact that he'll be anchoring the desk now on ABC, super excited for him, doing a great job.
Long way away from those Sunday radio shows.
Okay, exactly. Me and him, Sunday radio at 8 o'clock at night. Not sure who's listening. Is anybody alive out there? But it was fun. It's good and happy to see him. Worked us in this week. He's incredibly busy. So that has me juiced. Got some elite sleep last night. Nice. Was in bed about 9 o'clock.
Yeah, love that.
After Bruce Springsteen on Sunday, Raw on Monday.
Well, and then Friday and Saturday just being the weekend.
Yeah, it was like four straight days of the weekend. Now, I didn't have any beverages, which I was proud of, other than water at Raw, but I was still tired, a little sleep deprived. Finished up class, got all the grades done. That's got me juiced up. I was going to play Pacino today, Shark, but I think it'll be more appropriate for tomorrow.
Okay.
Catch my drift. Let's hear from Tyrone Davis.
The difference between people who win and people who whine is very simple. People who whine want to feel good before they do something, and people who win do something so they can feel good.
There you go.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet today. And you know what else has me juiced? I'll get some messages on Twitter where people are like, hey, I heard that going to school. Want to play it for my kid. Can you send it to me? So I always try to get that done. That happened yesterday with the little piece we had playing there. So all that has me juiced, but this is going to be the most juice. What Schley's got to say?
The smartest people in all the rooms doesn't mean anything to me. I give two craps about how much paper you got, and I got two of them. I give two craps, right? It's about action.
How many craps do you think he gives?
I don't know. It's Schley's two
is
craps.
The world's fastest dumper, so.
Yeah. Two craps better than three craps or better than one crap?
Well, it depends on who's taking the craps. Schley's is the world's fastest dumper, self-proclaimed.
Depends
so.
On if you're playing craps, if you're shooting dice.
Ah. That's what he's talking about,
I think so.
Eh?
Yeah.
You know,
Canadian? Yeah. Jan just usurp you right there?
Yes.
I mean, take over your body?
Entered my brain. Do you know how many Buckeyes have won the Sullivan Award?
I don't even know what that is.
Sullivan Award goes to the most outstanding college or Olympic athlete every year. It's a pretty big deal, Bob.
When did it start?
94 years ago.
So I'm guessing Jesse Owens won it.
No.
Okay, then it's a sham.
I mean, actually, two Buckeyes have won.
The dude won four gold medals.
Kyle Snyder won it?
Kyle Snyder won it in, 2019 or something like that.
Can you tell us the other sport for the Buckeye?
Football.
Oh, Archie?
No.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. This one surprised me. I didn't remember.
More recent
this.
Or older?
I thought it was going to be. I thought Jerry Lucas would be on there.
Yeah.
But no, he didn't win it. Rafer Johnson wanted in 1960. It was a football player. It was a running back, and it was a pretty recent running back.
Eddie?
No.
Zeke?
Zeke.
Really?
Zeke won the Sullivan.
God, that's great
in
bar trivia.
2014.
Anyway, Heisman. That's remarkable.
I don't even know if he was he first team All-American in 14?
Probably
I don't think
not.
So.
I don't think so either. I mean, he made a huge name for himself in that postseason.
Well, because in the postseason, I think he had, what, three straight games of 200 yards?
Yeah, he's racking and stacking.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Anyway, Caitlin Clark won the Sullivan Award this year.
Back-to-back, right?
First in the 94-year history of the Sullivan Award, she's the first two-time winner. So that's pretty impressive. Also, I got to play this again. Bob talked about it, this date in history. My man Omar Vizquel, 57 years old today.
Vizquel today, 2 for 4, 2 singles. Sexton at third. Cabrera at second. Lofton at first. Nobody sitting down at Jacobs Field. The 2-1 delivery. Swung on and drilled to deep right center. Away back. Gone! Vizquel, a game-winning grand slam. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. But that has me juiced, Beam.
What has me juiced is I'm looking at the All-American teams now for 2014 and 2015. 2014, Ezekiel Elliott was not an All-American. Of course, he went on that remarkable postseason run. Yeah. We know that. I mean, it was Wisconsin, Alabama, and then ultimately Oregon in the national championship game where he was going crazy. Unanimous AP All-Americans. Unanimous All-Americans for 2014. Was Tevin Coleman and Melvin Gordon. So Tevin Coleman playing right here in
How'd
the Big
Melvin
Ten.
Gordon do the
Melvin
Big
Gordon
Ten
didn't fare very well in the Big Ten championship game.
They have like 60 yards or something.
Has Mike ever
he
told
got
that? 100 that game?
No, which, he didn't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. Bob.
I'm almost positive.
All right. Well, I'm not going to bet you, but
Beam's going to look this
he
up.
He did not have a good game against Ohio State, but
I think he got like a loss at the end of the game.
26 carries for 76 yards.
Boom. I said 70.
Boom, roasted.
I feel good.
Has
I get
Mike
both
ever told the story about that?
Under.
Has Mike ever told the story about Wisconsin, like going into that game? So he's like, yeah, you know, whatever. We're going to have our hands full. And then after the first defensive play of the game, and maybe it was like a 2 yard, like a 2 yard loss, he goes, we won. He goes, those guys were soft, and they were scared,
they
and the fear
you.
In the eyeballs, and Melvin Gordon's eyes, like he could tell, and that defense just smelled blood in the water, which ultimately ended in the 59-0 total beatdown in the Big Ten championship game, which then got you into the college football playoff, and then got you a national championship.
They were number two, right? Undefeated, number two in the country, Wisconsin.
Were they that high?
I thought.
Okay. But then I thought...
I don't think they were number two. They were top 10.
They were... Well, they finished this. No, it says they were number 13 at the time, Shark.
Yeah.
No, 13 after the game.
Okay.
I think they were undefeated.
They were undefeated, but I don't think they were top two.
So, anyways.
Maybe.
Zeke was a second team AP All-American in 2015. That was the All-American honors that he got. But a second teamer, and he won the Sullivan Award. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's absolutely crazy. That's got me juiced. Went to the zoo yesterday, super juiced about that. Tuesday afternoon at like 3:45. There's nobody there. I mean, we had the the Asia Quest all to ourselves, so that was cool. We get to hang out with the elephants.
That's your first time?
Saw the red panda. That was fun. Got to see the tigers. And
how many cups did she stack on her head?
How many bowls did she flip up? A lot. Yeah, this red panda was just napping.
I've never seen that damn red panda.
It was there, I know.
I'm going to have to get in that cage one time and scare him
around.
It's
like a 5% chance.
I've been to the zoo like 100 times, and I'm 0 for 100 on that damn red panda.
That and the sloth bear. We got to see him yesterday, too. So it was a red panda and a sloth bear. So that was fun. And then I just let William walk around in front of those, like, langur monkeys, that big exhibit that they have in there. Spent a half hour in there, and he was just watching them swing. So that was pretty neat. The Bengals want an upgrade to Paycor Stadium, but don't want to pay for it. We'll do that in the re-rack coming up next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, watch for slow-moving traffic on the east side on I-70 westbound, just beyond State Route 310. Left lane still slightly blocked off from a crash earlier this morning. Also, still watching a little bit of slow-moving traffic in and out of the Dublin area on 33 eastbound from a crash from earlier this morning. Slow-moving traffic slightly leading up to that 270 loop. And on the southeast side, crews still working to clear a crash on Hamilton Road as you approach the 33 westbound and eastbound entrance ramps. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
Fan.
Bobby played football for Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick. Beamer played football for a drunk named Joe who worked at the gas station. You're listening to Morning Juice.
Hour number three of the program for us on a Wednesday. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. Coming up here at 8:35. Field Yates, he's going to join the program. Bobby had a chance to talk to him as he anchors the desk for the draft coverage coming up on ABC and ESPN. It'll be on ABC on Thursday, Friday. Then they switch their coverage to ESPN on Saturday for the later rounds. We're going to check in with Field coming up here around 8:35 here a little bit later on.
Keeping you informed about what's trending this morning, it's time for a little rewack on Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus, your destination for top-of-the-line grills with up to 30-year warranties. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Hey, Shark. You know that when you speak and when you speak about facts and things that I take that, Bob and I take that as gospel. You know that?
I didn't know that.
Well, we do.
Usually Bob argues with you.
Well, I do. I will argue with you when you are incorrect. And you brought the Sullivan Award, which was topical because it was the first two-time winner with Caitlin Clark, correct? And so I scrolled through it because you said there's been two other Ohio State Buckeyes who have won this. I put out Jesse Owens because it's the best college or Olympic athlete. I'm not sure what the hell Glenn Morris did that year in the decathlon, which would warrant him winning that over Jesse Owens in 1936.
By the way, the first winner of this was
Bobby Jones.
Was Bobby Jones. So like it goes all the way back to Bobby Jones.
Well, they used to call it the most outstanding amateur athlete.
Amateur.
And now
they all get paid, so
they've changed the name. The Olympic athletes are pros, the college athletes are pros, so they had to change it. So anyway, what was I wrong about?
Well, I was scrolling through there, I was like, okay, looked up Glenn Morris. I mean, he may have been the fourth Olympian to play Tarzan, you know, in Tarzan's Revenge or whatever. It's like Doc Blanchard won it in football, and just looking through, like Bill Walton had won it. There were some esteemed people. And as I was scrolling through, my eyes all of a sudden caught the name Glenn Davis. You know who Glenn Davis is?
Yeah, Glenn Davis, Mr. Inside.
But there's also another Glenn Davis, and not Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Yeah.
Glenn, they called him Glenn Jeep Davis. He was born in Wellsburg, West Virginia, but grew up in Barberton, Ohio. Attended Barberton High School and Marietta High School. Davis won Olympic titles in the 400 meters in the Melbourne Olympics and in the 56 in Rome and in 60. And he was awarded the James E. Sullivan Award as the nation's top amateur athlete. He ran track at Ohio State for Larry Snyder, who said that who also coached Jesse Owens, who said that Davis was possibly greater than Jesse Owens.
Wow.
So there is your first fallacy. There is another Buckeye.
So now we have three.
Now we have three.
What year was that?
That was 1958. And the only reason I knew that is because as I scroll through, I've done Today in History and learned a great deal about
these
Glenn
names,
Davis
over
the course of time because I was like, who is this guy greater than Jesse Owens? Let me dive in and
that's
see
a small him. Mantle to be put on.
That's what I said. Well, from a guy who coached Jesse Owens. Yeah. This isn't some rando who's talking about it, who never saw, only saw him run or whatever.
Well, what's amazing is that, was it Larry Snyder? Is that who you're talking about? Larry Snyder, the coach?
Yes.
Larry Snyder coached Jesse Owens in the 30s, and he was still coaching in 1958 for Glenn Davis.
Well, he was also an instructor pilot during World War One and World War II. So fairly, he's in the Ohio State Varsity Hall of Fame, cross country coaches Hall of Fame, Drake Relays Hall of Fame, all kinds of stuff. He OSU Hall of Fame. I mean, he was U.S. track and field assistant in the Olympics in Rome. All kinds. I mean, he's very well accomplished. born in 1896, died in 1892. So he's almost part of the Century Club.
1992.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
1982, born in 1896.
So. I think the moral of the story is, if your name's Glenn Davis, you've got a good shot at being great.
We do also.
We just named three of them that were, one won a Heisman, one won a Sullivan, and Big Baby was really good in college.
He won Naismith?
I don't think he won a Naismith. But looking through here, I was like, oh, you know, there's Bonnie Blair. There was Coco and Kelly Miller, the only split time they won it. They were twins.
Because they can tell the difference.
Oh, maybe. And that may have been it.
Synchronized swimmers or something?
As I'm scrolling through here, I found another one.
Another Buckeye? Yeah.
Another Buckeye,
oh,
Shark.
Oh, man. See, I'm getting old. I'm losing it.
And Beam goes, how about Paul Hamm? Is he related to
John Hamm?
And I was like,
Mia Hamm.
Or Mia Hamm. I'm like, he has a twin brother. I don't think his name is John. His name was Morgan. They both attended Ohio State, and he was a gymnast.
And that was recent.
And that was recent, yeah. Shark. I watched him in the Olympics. I watched him win a gold medal. So, Shark, while you proclaimed two, you were selling Ohio State halfway there.
And that's the only two that we can find. There may be more on the list.
If I click through here, I feel pretty esteemed. Now, I'm not quite Jack Park, but I mean, I'm working my way, trying to do the best I can getting there. Those are the only two off the top of my head that I was able to see. And the fact that Jesse Owens got robbed. So Ohio State should have five. We'll credit them as
probably
four.
Probably more than that. I mean, we've had seven Heisman Trophy winners. You would think one of them. Horvath or Hopalong or one of them would have
Logan Stever won four national championships here as a wrestler, too.
What's amazing is there's not a lot of Heisman Trophy winners.
Jack Nicklaus played golf here.
that would have been a good one to have. I'm trying to think. Did he win a gold medal? They didn't have gold medals.
They didn't have the Olympics, but he did win the USAM.
USAM, and so that would put you probably in some pretty rarefied air.
What about Tiger? Did Tiger win a Sullivan?
No, because that would have been the mid-90s.
I mean, he was the NCAA champion.
Was that 98?
Stanford. And back-to-back USAM champion.
No, it would have been 90, mid-90s. Yeah, like
so we've got 95. Bruce Baumgartner, who was a wrestler. You got Michael Johnson in 1996. Peyton Manning won it in 97. So I'm saying there's people that have won it, but haven't won Heisman trophies. Now, Charlie Ward won it in 93, obviously football and basketball, and he won a Heisman Trophy.
He won the Heisman.
Yeah, he did win the Heisman. And they won a national championship at Florida State then in 93. So, yeah.
Manning didn't win a Heisman, but he won the Sullivan.
But won that. Bill Walton won it. Mark Spitz. I mean, there's a lot of people on here that you would think, but not Bill Bradley won it.
Is there a Lou Alcindor?
I did not see. They would have changed it to Kareem because they changed...
Caitlyn Jenner.
Jenner, yes, it's no
all that.
So I was scrolling through, but I'm disappointed, Shark.
I am too,
especially with Hamm because you were around to watch that.
Yes,
I mean that was 2004. That was
Melvin Gordon had 100 yards in the Big Ten championship game. Thought they were undefeated, ranked number two in the country.
I'm telling you guys, I'm just losing it.
I remember, Shark. Did you pass your balance test today?
I attended that game, too.
I knew they didn't have 100 yards because that was something that those guys held their hat on. And in the second half, people were like, why? You know, they weren't, and they subbed
why
a little
are the
bit.
Starters in?
And they kept guys, and those guys are like, he's not getting 100 on us.
And
he
if
may
you
get
remember,
a Heisman, but it ain't because of this game.
Our run defense in 14 wasn't great. I mean, we got shredded by Tevin Coleman. And I just remember going into that game
called the Indiana game.
Was that the Xander Diamont game in 14?
That was terrible.
That guy.
I remember watching Tevin Coleman get to the sideline. And if you've ever heard Tyvus talk about it, it's tremendous. He's like, I'm running there. And he's like, nope. It's kind of a little real Meredith situation with that mac and cheese, the lobster mac and cheese.
Business decision?
Yeah. Well, business decision. He's like, I'm running at an angle. And he goes, and this is a little bit, I was talking to Hester about this, where he was telling a story.
Tevin Coleman ran for 228 yards and three touchdowns.
He had like two runs of over 60. I go, this is Ohio State and that's Indiana. And I started telling the story
about the shoe.
Yes, I started telling the story about Khalil Mack on our guy Jack Muhord, who I love.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jack, what is this guy doing? He's like, he's better than anyone we have. I'm like, get out of here, dude. He plays at Buffalo now. Turns out that he's probably a borderline gold jacket guy.
Pick six from Braxton. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, Jacob Hess. That's what I said. He was like Lawrence Taylor, tipping the ball, grabbing it, running down. Plus, he had a couple of sacks. I think he had a strip sack in
there.
One
of the best plays I've seen with my two eyeballs at Ohio State.
In the shoe, not by a Buckeye. Yeah. It's up there. And then, because Jacob Hess was telling the story, he's like, we're playing Troy. He's got this defensive end that's going up against Whitworth. He's like, Whitworth's a borderline Hall of Famer. He goes, this guy's all over him. Can't block him. He's like, that guy was DeMarcus Ware. You know, he's like, and he has a gold jacket. But your coach, I'll tell you what the coach, this guy's here. We didn't recruit him. This guy's a Troy. This guy's a Buffalo.
Coach, they're on scholarship,
you know,
too.
Yeah, right. Scholarship, they're saying, yeah, you know what you did? You mailed it in this week. You didn't prepare. Poor technique. Didn't watch film. Probably went out all week. Cowboy.
Soft.
Like all these things.
Loaf.
And then all you found, because you don't have the prism of 20 years later where, yeah, coach, this dude's a Hall of Famer.
Actually, that guy should have been beating me.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty impressed with the way that I stood up against him.
And so that's kind of the story with this, you know, the Gordon situation. You're making sure, like,
I thought going into that game that he'd run for 250 against us.
Oh, ye have little faith, Charles.
I know. I sure did not see 59-0.
Kevin
Coleman. A good thing FanDuel wasn't around.
I mean,
then.
You want to talk about that stadium getting quiet. When he turned the corner and I watched him, like, dig in, it's like, oh, this is bad. This is you know how I felt? How the Alabama fans felt when Zeke turned the corner and you said, there's not a guy with, I can judge rates of speed and there's nobody that is running at a faster rate.
Go to judging angles.
In all fairness, I mean, Tevin Coleman had a pretty decent NFL career and ran really well at the combine. Good player.
Yeah, he sure did. The Marvin Harrison Jr. slander has begun. That's next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now we're watching a crash on 315 southbound. The left lane blocked just beyond Ackerman Road because of a crash in those southbound lanes. Also on I-70 eastbound, traffic slow moving in those eastbound lanes at Kilton Avenue because of a car pushed off to the right. We are also still watching slow moving traffic in and out of the Dublin area on 33 eastbound as you approach the 270 loop from a crash earlier this morning. I'm 10TV's Amy Sagerwald with your Fan.
Beamer is tweeting about Formula One.
Oh, hells yes.
Bobby is tweeting Rick Springfield concert video. Both are a cry for help.
This is one twisted mother.
This is Morning Juice.
Cruise along here. A little Wednesday edition of the program. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. Coming up here at 8:35, Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider. He's going to join the program. You had a chance to gel him in your schedule. Well, in his schedule. He had like a 30-minute window to be able to talk.
It was that long. It was
like
one draft. It's like 1:40. He's like, hey, I've got till 2, or I can go from 2:15 to 2:30. I'm like, let's just try to go now. Like, only text Bean. You didn't get back. Taking a nap, which I normally would have been laying down at that point. I just got out of the shower. I'm like, all right, let's do this.
So Field Yates, he's going to join us at 8:35 here.
Are we sure it's Yates? I thought it was Yattis.
Field Yattis. Yeah. He's also a great son of the state of Ohio because his grandpa's from Ohio.
I think it's his grandma.
Is it his grandma? One of his grandparents is from Ohio, and I know he holds Ohio in great.
He does. He loves Ohio State.
He does. So super excited to be able to listen to that coming up here at 8:35. So you're a big fan of anonymous quotes, right?
Yeah, who doesn't love some the ability to slander someone without putting your name on it?
Yeah, and so I mean, I think there's Bruce Feldman did a good article on Marv and Roma Dunze and Malik Nabers at the top of the draft leaderboard, and we'll see ultimately what happens tomorrow evening. Cardinals sitting at number 4. Paris Johnson Jr. doing an article with John Weinfuss of ESPN earlier on in the week, basically saying that, listen, you know, some guys have the traits. Some guys are just gifted. He's like, Marv is that, but what makes him great is his work ethic. He doesn't talk. He doesn't say anything, but he changes the leadership in that room. He's a quiet guy, keeps to himself, but the work ethic is the work ethic, and that's why he's great. So we would love to have him at the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll see what happens tomorrow if the Cards take that pick, turn him into number 4, or if they're going to go somewhere else, or if they move off of that, right? I mean, that's why it's so intriguing for what's going to happen tomorrow night with the NFL draft. So Bruce Feldman, again, doing this article for The Athletic, talked to a bunch of people around football. Wide receiver coach number 1 in this anonymous quote said, Harrison's not number 1 to me. LSU's Malik Nabers is number 1 on my list, and I think he is on a lot of people's lists. He's just different to me. I don't think it's anything towards Marv. It's just really that Nabers is that good. His skills with the ball in his hands are really different. His acceleration is different. His explosive plays are different. He tracks the ball really well. He's a smaller guy. He can still play outside. He's rare in a lot of ways. Got some Jamar Chase to him, some DJ Moore skills. I hesitate to say that because of Tyreek Hill's speed. It's just so different from anybody in the league. But Nabers has some kind of burst that's just so explosive. off the line of scrimmage. He's fast as the person chasing him. He's going to run away from whoever. If Deion was chasing him, he'd go 4-2-1 or whatever. He's the best wide receiver prospect since Chase. And on tape, I think he's even more impressive. This dude is different. Okay. You want to say that? They're a little bit different. That's fine. I don't care who you have on your boards. Offensive assistant one said it's neighbors. Then there's a gap. He's the best wide receiver in this draft in a couple of years, maybe more. Tyreek Hill combined with one of those San Francisco guys, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. He's so explosive. He's got a second gear. He can stop on a dime. He can break tackles. You can't jam him because he's too quick, and if you miss at all, he's going to outrun you. He's competitive, but he can be a pain in the ass. He'll be the guy who has something to say, the coordinator coming off the field. He's got that edge to him where he doesn't know when to let up. He doesn't know that those guys are on his side. Scout number one, Neighbors is so much more explosive. I think he has more upside. I don't know if I trust him like I trust Marvin. I trust Marvin to be disciplined. They're different builds. They're different players. Totally different wideouts.
And they're both really good. I don't think you're going to go wrong. I think Marv has a much higher floor, but you know what you're probably getting a little bit more with Marv. You know, personality-wise, he's more of a low-key guy. He's very similar to his dad in that respect. And you know, people say he's a bigger, faster, stronger version of his dad. Well, his dad's a Hall of Famer, so I'm not sure exactly what you're asking for to get better. Is Malik Nabers more explosive, maybe off the jump, than Marvin? I think that's probably a fair assessment. And when people say that, okay. Does Marvin have top end and ability to finish, you know, at the top of routes that's equal to or better than Nabers? I think that that's also fair. You know, Marvin's bigger. He's got, you know, Jamar Chase is a short guy who can finish like very few people. He's got great leaping ability and great strength. It's tough to find those guys. Can Malik Nabers do that at the next level? Probably. Will he be able to do it as well as Marvin? I don't know. I think Marvin probably has him there. But to say that there's like the evaluation to say there's Neighbors and then a gap, I think is disingenuous to probably both of those players and what they are. Because those guys are very similar production, different of how they play based upon their body type and their attributes, but they both give you a ton of stuff. And this is the thing right now that people, they'll say that because they don't have to put their name on it. You know, and who knows why they're leaking this stuff out. And honestly, who put this article together?
It's Bruce Feldman.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice clickbait, gets everyone going, because anytime you're the presumptive number one at your position, and there's another guy there that's pretty good, and Malik Nabers is very good, very good. It's, we'll just tear down the guy who has the famous name, who everybody knows nationally, about why he's not as good as people think he is, which isn't true.
Wide receiver coach number one said, Marvin is great too. You question how fast he is, though. He can take the top off. He's got elite ball skills and tracking. I don't see 23 miles an hour. That's really, really fast. He's, to me, more of a glider, build-up speed type of guy, which would you expect to be because he's huge. Offensive assistant one, Marv is really good, polished. If you're looking to pick on something, he's not going to run by people. They're going to squat on him at the top of the break. He's good. I just wish he did the testing. He comes across a casual a little bit. And then here's, I don't necessarily
comes across as casual. Is it casual because he didn't do the testing, or is that just his personality? Because here's the thing, guys that are casual just kind of let things happen. Marvin is a worker. He goes out and works on a daily basis. And so that's where I take umbrage with that.
I also take umbrage with this, and this was the one that kind of blew me away here. Wide receiver coach two had this to say. Harrison is like a fluid, smooth receiver. He doesn't have the same elite traits like Neighbors. He can separate and catches the ball real well. I just don't think he wows you. That's a crazy statement to say.
I don't know. He wowed me. I've seen a lot of guys.
More than a few times.
I mean, he's been a lot of wows. I've watched him play against really good defensive backs and play really well. You know, last year, maybe the quarterback situation wasn't ideal for him. And so you probably take that into account a little bit, but He wowed me, man. And I played with Terrell Owens, played with Terry Glenn, I played with Calvin Johnson, you know, Brandon Lloyd, guys who are all pros, Hall of Famers. You know, I played with Santonio Holmes. I mean, I'm not saying I'm putting him in the category of those guys yet, but he has all the ability to take himself into that category and be a, I don't want to say Hall of Fame player, but I think to be near the top of his position group for the next decade.
Yeah, he's on the track to do that. He's on the track to do it. To say he doesn't wow you is a crazy thing to say. ESPN NFL insider Field Yates.
I want to know what those guys have been doing.
Yeah, well, they've been hanging
probably a lot
with,
of heroin.
Thinking they've been hanging drugs. Out with Shark a little bit too much. He took time out of his busy week to talk to Bob yesterday. You're going to hear that next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now we are watching slow-moving traffic on 315 southbound beyond Ackerman Road because of a crash that has the left lane blocked off. Also watching an issue on I-70 eastbound at Kelton Avenue. There is a car pushed off to the right because of an accident. Still also watching slow-moving traffic in and out of the Dublin area on 33 eastbound as you approach 270 from a crash earlier this morning. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan Traffic.
Just a couple of dudes being guys.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
You're listening to Morning Juice.
All right, here with our guy from ESPN, Field Yates, joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Field, talking a little draft. This has got to be the busiest time of the year for you, is it not?
It is. It's a great time. It's one of my favorite times of the year. One of my favorite weeks of the year, Carp. And by the way, I got to call the Brian or Bryant with a T at the end, Heating and Cooling System. I've been having some trouble at my house recently, so... you and I will have to talk offline about getting them to consult on some of the stuff that's taking place. You know, over here in Connecticut, it's starting to turn from cold to warmer season. And I got to talk to them about some of my systems, apparently.
Absolutely. We'll get you all taken care of here offline. I know you're busy running around, going to be anchoring some of the draft coverage this year on ABC. Am I correct in saying that?
ESPN? That's right. Yep.
Look at
that's
that.
Right. Yeah, look at that, nailing it. Yes, ABC on Thursday, Friday, and then ESPN on Saturday when we go down to rounds 4 through 7, down to just one broadcast. So very much looking forward to it.
All right, so the question everybody wants to know, this is the crazy quarterback draft. Field, how many guys, the number I think is sitting at 4.5, how many do you see going in the first round, and who do you think that potential fifth guy could be if that's the case?
Yeah, I think the answer is at least 5. I do. I think there's a chance for 6, but I would go 5, and I think Michael Penix Jr. is the 5th. I think we feel really good about 4 quarterbacks going, 3 potentially off the board with the first 3 picks. Those, of course, most likely to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May, with J.J. McCarthy not that far behind. I see it as a 3-person tier at the top, and then sort of a little split between those guys and J.J. McCarthy, and then another little split down to Mike Penix Jr. and also Bo Nix. But the reality is that teams are A, always in need of quarterbacks, and B, I do feel like teams are following the lead of others that have been successful recently and being a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of when they have acquired a quarterback. So they've been a little bit too early to a party as opposed to too late to the party. I think people are saying, hey, why don't we just continue drafting quarterbacks and hope that they hit, even if we have somebody already in the lineup? Because if we get into a situation where we are not, or we're without a quarterback, we're so screwed because there are so few ways to acquire one outside of the draft.
Absolutely. As we talked to Field Yates, anchoring the coverage on ABC here, Thursday, Friday, ESPN on Saturday, full weekend for you. And you're right. I mean, quarterback, if you don't have one, you're searching to find one. It feels like a little bit of this first round field for that quarterback kind of hinges a little bit when you get to that 4th pick with Arizona. They obviously, I say obviously, they have Kyler Murray. They've paid him. It doesn't look like they would go quarterback there. So people have mocked a lot of trades. I mean, if there was someone coming up to get a quarterback, who do you think the most likely suspect would potentially be?
Yeah, so if they, first of all, I think Arizona, this is just my opinion. I'm not trying to play to the crowd here. If I'm Arizona, pick 4, I sit, I take Marvin Harrison Jr., and I feel great about it because not that I need to explain how brilliant of a player he is, anybody listening to this locally, but I just think that, we can get so enamored with future draft capital. It's very easy to do so, right? Because it's the possibility. It's the hypothetical. It's the maybe we could turn 4 into 11, 23, and, a top 5 pick next year, but maybe not. And the maybe not is also weighed against Marvin Harrison Jr. So I would be thinking long and hard about staying exactly where I am, resist temptation, and make Kyler Murray the happiest man on the planet by adding Marvin Harrison Jr. If Arizona does trade down, I think everybody has their eyes on the Vikings, who have made no secret about their desire to acquire a quarterback in this year's draft and made no secret about their desire to potentially do so to get up into the top five or six picks to get one of those top quarterbacks. So until proven otherwise, I will continue to view Minnesota as the most likely trade up team.
You know, a lot of people are obviously feel in Ohio interested with the Cincinnati Bengals, where they're going to potentially go. Joe Burrow, you know, obviously had the injury finishing the year on the shelf this year. Cincinnati, I believe, sitting at pick 18. Pretty tackle heavy draft. Offensive heavy draft, especially at the top. Do you see Cincinnati 18 potentially going with a tackle? And who do you think would be a good tackle in that sweet spot, assuming probably Joe Alt and some of the other, maybe the second tackles off the board by then?
Yeah, I think Cincinnati has a couple of needs that certainly could be filled in at 18th spot. Number one is offensive tackle, like you just said. They signed Trent Brown to that deal this offseason. It's a one-year deal. I always remind people, and I know that this is not the thing that fans like to hear the week of the draft. The first round of the NFL draft is not just for filling your need this year. It's about looking ahead and identifying a need a year from now and drafting the best player who at worst will help you a year from now, but at best might help you this year as well. And while Trent Brown's a really talented guy, inconsistent, he has not been consistent enough in terms of his availability. So if I'm Cincinnati, I'm thinking long and hard about guys like Talifuaga from Oregon State, if he falls to them at number 18, you know, Troy Fautanu from Washington, who I think could be a guard or left tackle or right tackle. If, and I think this is a big if, Olu Fashioner is there, I would, you know, sprint to the board. I also think Amarius Mims should be mentioned. Tyler Guyton, those are from Georgia and Oklahoma, respectively. There's a lot of toolsy upside players. And for a team that I think needs an offensive tackle, can certainly fit Cincinnati's needs. Defensive tackle should not be ignored as well. I don't think Byron Murphy II gets there from Texas, but if he does, another example of a sprint the card-in type pick.
Not many defensive players and mock to go in the first round field. Who do you think the first guy potentially off the board could be?
I think there are three candidates for the first defensive player off the board. Dallas Turner from Alabama has been mentioned the most. That might be just because it's the easy thing to do. He's a pass rusher. Atlanta needs a pass rusher as well. He's 21 years old, springy athlete. Byron Murphy II, though, from Texas, who I just mentioned, is Cincinnati. Also a candidate, incredibly clean prospects, just, you know, great film from this past year, excellent athlete, a great kid as well. He's a workout warrior. The guy cannot be removed from the weight room except for when he is practicing or playing football. So you like all of that as well.
Love that.
The last one, you love that. He's kind of like you. That's how you maintain your shape, obviously. You're the rare athlete who seems to be in just as good a shape as he was during his playing days. Makes me very envious of you in many, many ways. Last one, Carp, would be if we think Leiatu Latu gets a medical clean bill of health. Pass rusher from UCLA. I thought he had the best tape this past season. I don't think it's even close. He had 13 sacks, second in the FBS in pressures behind only Washington's Braylon Trice over the past two seasons. I mean, the guy is an absolute menace. NFL teams need pass rushers, but just a few years ago, he was medically retired from football. Beyond that, he is an older prospect relative to Dallas Turner. He's been in college for longer, not a premier athlete, but I think the tape is so, so good that I will be very, very hard-pressed to bypass Leiatu Latu if I needed the pass rusher in this draft.
Along with Field Yates of ESPN, going to be anchoring the draft coverage on ABC Thursday, Friday night. So be sure to check him out. One of my favorites, does a great job all the time, all across the platforms over at the ESPN family. And, you know, a guy here in Columbus who used to have a lot of intrigue for coaching up in Michigan, now Jim Harbaugh out in Los Angeles with the Chargers. They're another team, Field, sitting there in the top five, could be an inflection point. They obviously have Justin Herbert, don't need a quarterback. Do you see them staying? What do they need? Where do you think this could hinge?
I kind of feel like the Chargers are waiting for the Cardinals to make the move in this regard. If the Cardinals trade back, I think it's going to be really hard for the Chargers to move back as well. If the Cardinals stay put, the Chargers might well be inclined to move back with Minnesota because you could get basically the same trade that Minnesota would offer to go from 11 to 4 to go from 11 to 5. And I heard Pat McAfee and the boys reading Jim Harbaugh's sort of, I think it's rules of life or 12 rules of life, his personal commandments. Shefty had brought a business card with them. And one of the rules was don't try to win every fight in the first round. And along those lines, the Chargers have some needs right now, including wide receiver. But this is the step one of Lord knows how long. I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh probably wants to be a football coach till the day he dies, and he's showing no signs of slowing up, right? So just because they need a wide receiver right now, I do not necessarily think it means that they are going to force the issue and not be eyes opened to other available offers. I think it is a totally 100% completely justifiable selection for the Chargers to take a wide receiver at number 5 overall. Let me be very clear on that. But they also may say, while we love these receivers, we love the flexibility a trade down affords us, and that might be more important to a team that feels like they've got a lot of needs to fill in this various roster.
All right, Field, in about your last minute or so here, appreciate you taking some time. I know you're incredibly busy this week. You got any surprises, something you think that could happen that maybe no one else is seeing coming, a shock that you think is out there that maybe is a little under the radar right now?
Well, I don't know how much of a shock this is or what it would be, but I'll just say this. There's been a lot of discussion about whether Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison would be the first wide receiver taken off the board. I'm not even sure that Malik Nabers is the second wide receiver off the board. He could be the first, Carp. I love the player. I absolutely love him. Yeah. I've got Marvin is number 3 on my overall big board. Malik Nabers is number 4. So if this happened, it's not how I feel, but Roma Dunze might end up being the second wide receiver off the board. I just want people to be prepared for anything with those top 3 wide receivers. Really, Carp, I mean, it's choosing between. This is like as good as it gets, right? I mean, I think all 3 of these guys will be day one, instant impact, number 1 wide receivers. Like, I just don't think there's any way that those guys slide too far. And I think it's really possible that Roma Dunze ends up going ahead of Malik Nabers. I think all 3 guys end up being top 7 or 8 picks. So it is it's a good time right now if you need a wide receiver and you have one of those top 10 picks.
Absolutely. It's kind of like picking what your favorite flavor of ice cream is. You really can't go
wrong. Amen. Between kids, right? It's like between kids.
Yeah. Absolutely. Love absolutely. We appreciate it, Phil. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Get back. Keep working. I know you got a million other things, and try to get some rest, all right?
Thanks, Carp. Talk to you soon, man.
Good job with you and Field Yates on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Looking forward to his coverage tomorrow coming up on the draft on ABC. We're going to reveal our fan poll coming up next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now we're watching a crash on I-670 eastbound. This is right near Neal Avenue. Traffic is slow moving as you approach that 315-670 split. Also still watching some slow moving traffic out in the Dublin area on 33 eastbound as you approach the 270 loop. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan.
If you can find a show that's closer to Buckeye football, it would be hosted by Ryan Day. You're listening to Morning Juice.
We here on the Juice are brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Health, the leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can always visit them on the line at feelgreatcolumbus.com. Wrap things up, little Wednesday edition of the program. Uncle Bo and the boys going to be up next. Chop's birthday today. Turn a little 31 for him. Jay Morrison going to join him. They're going to talk some Bengals with him coming up at 10:33. They'll do Hey Guys right at 11 o'clock. And John Breach is going to join him. We'll talk NFL draft again with him at 11:33. Also hear from Ryan Day. Did an interview with Josh Pate. So they're going to play some of that. What came out of that? We might take a listen to that tomorrow on draft day. So they got that going for him, which is nice. On a little Chops birthday edition of the program. Did you guys see Deshaun Watson's tweet from last night? Or maybe it was a couple of days ago. I don't know.
Did not. What we got going there?
So I saw this on a quote tweet, which was pretty solid. I thought it was a lot of fun to be had on Twitter. It's a lot of also bad stuff to be had on Twitter, but sometimes it's fun. Deshaun said, I had a nice time visiting Saudi Arabia. Learned a lot about the original Saudi culture and society. I enjoyed watching Al Nasser, Al Awali, Al Hal, Al Zaim. Those are all members of the Saudi Pro League, and heard a lot about the singing of Al Ali fans at the Al Etihad. Special thanks to His Royal Highness Prince at Saudi 49er, who is Abdullah bin Mossad, for the hospitality and the shark's looking at me like I'm crazy, for the hospitality and the generosity. And God willing, we'll see American football in Saudi Arabia soon. May peace be with you. How much do you think Deshaun Watson was paid to tweet that out? How much money was he given?
I don't know.
Tweet that.
I was looking at some awesome Twitter beef between Caitlin Clark and Antonio Brown, which That's something being the whole world needs. I don't know if it's really safe for our airwaves, but there's a lot of things in there.
Some guy quoted the Deshaun tweet and said, "Live football is going to rock."
I love it.
Three quarters and a 10-game schedule with all games starting at the same time. Final is in Western Australia at midnight Eastern, with the top two teams getting to choose eight extra players from non-playoff teams.
I like that.
Winner gets their body weight in gold.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it sure does.
100%. And the winner also gets to pick a way that they're going to sacrifice a couple of humans.
I mean, live football, baby. Golf might go to 72 holes, but you know what we're going to introduce you to? American football version of it.
Periods. It'll be like hockey, you know?
Three quarters, 10-game schedule, and the final being played in Western Australia. It's perfect. It was the perfect tweet.
I like that.
I can't imagine how much money he got paid to tweet that out.
Hey, man, you know, you got to normalize their behavior, bring them into the fold. Sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Team Live Football.
Yeah, so Bone's walking into the studio. We're doing some things, you know, behind the scenes to get ready to unveil here at the radio station. T-Bone's over there wearing a Sweet Supporter Supply shirt. I know he's ready for the crew match coming up tonight against Monterey. Super pumped about that. 8:15 start. Looking forward to it. Super not looking forward to next week, 10:15 kickoff.
So tonight, it's home tonight.
Home right? tonight. Yeah, tickets are still available. You can get in the door for like $40. Like,
we've got people out there that would be using company vehicles right now at this time, even in preparation for an 8:15 kick.
Maybe.
Maybe even crash them. Who knows?
Right. Yeah.
Lots of opportunities there.
That could happen. So I'm super pumped about that tonight.
Is T-Bone going to the game?
T-Bone is going to the game, actually.
But you're not.
I'm not going to the game. I'm soft.
You really are.
Yeah, I know. I should get out there and support the team.
I don't know.
Willie's in bed. I don't have an excuse.
What is your excuse for
that? I have none. I have no excuse.
Well, why don't you go down there and get a ticket and go?
Well, maybe I will. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe we have a couple of Wednesday midweek beers.
You can celebrate however you like,
yeah.
Responsibly or irresponsibly.
Maybe I'll be like you on Sunday night at the Boss concert. Do a couple of clears and then mix it with a brown.
You just
at the
have
end
to have a
night.
Cutoff point of when you're going to stop. You have to predetermine that because it's non-negotiable. I went about 15 minutes past mine, but 9:15 was my last drink time.
End of your last drink or the beginning
of poured.
Your? Okay.
I'm like, I'm not pouring another drink after this.
How much longer did the concert last?
Oh, another hour. It went till almost 11.
Wow.
He played for over 3 hours.
Good for him. I still can't imagine being as old as
that's my thing. I start fast and then taper back. Usually, you know, 9:15 last drink pour, drinking water's the end. And I drink some waters intermittently throughout. Then drink a ton of water at WWE, didn't drink at all, which kind of crazy.
I mean, you had to do that in preparation for the New Orleans trip coming up.
Absolutely. Well.
It's a city that never shuts down. Like, we like to talk about New York and Las Vegas.
I've been trying to get my diet right because I'm going to be eating a lot of beignets and just terrible food. I'm going to indulge.
Bob, you got to go to Cafe Du Monde, like the beignet place, early in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to do that because I think they open it.
You go to Goldmine again?
Early in the morning?
Maybe the Empire Club.
What do you think the lineup's looking like at like 9 a.m. at the Goldmine?
I don't know. I mean, it's a club, so it's not a cabaret.
What about the cabaret lineup?
The Empire Club, I don't know if they're... If they're open, it's from the night before. And they probably serve you food in there.
Of course. A little breakfast burrito to go along with your exclusive cabaret.
I don't know if they serve the breakfast burrito. Probably something more of the French variety.
A Creole stuffed burrito?
Yeah, maybe crepes.
A little French. All you need to do is say, I love crepes.
Some sort of shrimp crepes, probably.
So we went to New Orleans before our trip for the national championship game on a spring break. And it was wildly different. Trips. One was just Meredith and I.
Mac and cheese.
And so I'll never forget this too. On the first trip, Meredith and I woke up at like, I don't know, 7 o'clock in the morning. We had some things to do, sights to see. You know, we wanted to get up. We wanted to rise before the town did. We go to a breakfast spot, and this is probably around like 8 o'clock. Bob, there's two older people, probably. I would say, I don't know, early 70s, late 60s, right. Maybe mid 70s. Yeah. This older gentleman is holding his wife or girlfriend or significant other's hair while she's just yakking in a trash can.
Gosh, that's beautiful.
You're 70 years old.
That's love.
God, it never dies.
You should have told Meredith, aspirations.
That's us.
That's aspirations
that's
for us.
That's us in 50 years.
Hopefully we can be that.
Hopefully we can make it. Our daily fan poll is sponsored by ER Auto Care, Masters of Our Craft. Today's fan poll at 971thefan.com or on Twitter at 971thefan. Who you got tonight in the Champions Cup match? Crew win, Monterey win, or a draw. I'm going to say a win. I'm going to say it's going to be 3-1 heading back to Mexico next week.
There we go. Let's get it done.
Bob, I had so much fun today. What do you say we do it again tomorrow on a big Thursday draft day, if they allow us? You good with that?
Oh, that should be a fun one.
Everybody have a great day. Uncle Bo and the boys are next. We're back live tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. to break everything down. Have a good one. Talk to you then. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now we are watching slow-moving traffic on I-670 eastbound. The left shoulder slightly blocked off in those eastbound lanes of 670 near Neal Avenue. Because of a crash, crews are working to clear up. This is just past the 315-670 split. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Center. Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. It was a good Tuesday night for both the Guardians and Reds up in Cleveland. Ben Lively struck out 7 in about 7 innings of work, and Jose Ramirez hit a solo shot in the 8th to power the Guardians past the Red Sox 4-1. Cleveland's won 5 in a row, and at 17-6 has the best record in all of baseball. Guardians and Red Sox are back at it tonight at 6:10. As for the Reds, Cincinnati pummeled Philadelphia 8-1 last night. Christian Encarnacion Strand, Ellie De La Cruz, and Santiago Espinal drove in multiple runs in the victory. Reds and Phillies go in game 3 of a 4-game set tonight at 6:40. First round of the NHL playoffs continued last night. The Panthers took a 2-0 lead on the Lightning with a 3-2 win in overtime. Rangers are up 2-0 on the Capitals after New York beat Washington 4-3. And in the NBA, the Pacers even their first round series with the Bucks, winning game 2, 125-108. Indiana's going to host Milwaukee in game 3 on Friday. Breaking sports news.